You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening. It's another Tuesday in the Valley of the Sun. I'm Clayton McKee. Welcome to Q-Talk Arizona, our weekly gathering of all the important people in my life, where we discuss daily events, current events, or things that nobody else really gives a shit about, to be quite honest. I'm here with my friends, Buddy Early.
Hold on, I'm getting a text. Okay, hi. Yes, I'm here.
Marty Ryer.
Hello.
And the always delightful Sir or Ma'am, but only Al Perkins. Hi, Alfred.
Thank you. Hello. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be with this microphone this week.
No, don't aim it down a little bit.
Down.
There. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I do hear the difference.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Oh, Lord. Well,
how come he got such a cool description?
What?
Al.
Well, what?
Buddy didn't get a cool description like that. Did you notice that, Buddy?
Yes, I'm taking mental notes.
We're
of all
second
of
second class fucking.
Well, what the hell? What do you want?
Well,
just something.
Full disclosure before the show begins, I have contacted the states of Missouri, New York, and Minnesota and requested long-form birth certificates I'm just making sure
is the text just in?
To be on the radio.
Actually, you know what? Back, that's kind of funny. I don't know if it's still the way it is. Back in the 80s when I started in radio, you had to actually go to a government office, like a post office, and get a form, a little thing that they would send you that said that you were permitted to broadcast. And I actually have that at home. Uh-huh, I do.
Nice. Oh, my God.
Well, I should hang that near.
I'm adopted, so my birth certificate is not really a birth certificate. Oh. Mine is this thing that says...
Possession?
Yeah, it's got a couple different dates on it.
Oh, I can tell you some things about birth certificates, but mine is not legit.
Yeah.
It's not.
Really? Maryvale didn't know what the hell to write on your...
No, I'm from the Appalachians. They do things funny there, and trust me,
Appalachians.
I have difficulty getting a passport. Let's just say that.
Really? Is that for other reasons, though?
It's a fascinating story.
But I don't understand that. So, but it seems to me that if there was an issue once, then we document, fix it, it's resolved, and everybody has the notes on the Buddy Early.
Oh no, because he probably fixed his like I did before there were computers and stuff like that. So the fix for mine is my passport. The official fix of my birth certificate problem is my passport.
Because
that makes me official. But
the fix, and I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see it, was not a 100% fix. So my birth certificate that I have in my possession needs fixing, if it's possible, 41 years later.
Somebody's got to tunnel through to the Appalachia
again?
Yes.
Maybe we should broadcast
computers
from the Appalachia.
Well, certainly this radio thing is not going out to them, but...
They could be.
Right? You wear a coat of many colors.
Well. Oh. Somebody's downloading us somewhere because we are over between 250 and 300 downloads for our show.
Well, I did about 47 today.
Wow.
Does that count?
Yeah, stuffing the ballot box. That's good, Martin. Thanks.
As long as I win, I don't care how I got
there.
Sorry.
Oh, she's gone. They kept quiet on the announcements. Yeah. They kept pretty mum on her leaving SNL, but...
Oh, Kristen Wiig,
and they waited to the end, and they did it like some kind of a graduation setup, and then they sang her goodbye, and then they turned it into Ruby Tuesday because it turned into the Mick Jagger show.
Now, my question
is, who was funny? He was very funny.
He was.
Now, my question is because you, Al, have mentioned months ago that she's leaving. So, if they kept it all quiet, how the fuck did you know?
Well, there was rumors, there was allegations.
Anytime somebody starts getting in the movies, I'm going to go now.
It's funny because there were also rumors and still are about Jason Sudeikis and Andy Samberg,
and they haven't said whether that was good. But Andy Samberg did the part two of Lazy Sunday. So the digital shorts that kind of helped YouTube take off, helped him take off, their little synergy there. He did his part two as like the final chapter, and all the famous people that have helped them came back to do their part of Lazy Sunday 2 about going to see Sister Act, which was really funny.
Yeah.
And That's So Raven. It was very clever because the first one was about the Chronicles of Narnia. Boy, we're making that sound really dull, but it's really fucking funny.
I'm already bored. I don't even know what you're talking about. Cheese it.
Oh my god! You really never caught that when it first came out?
What?
I saw the Chronicles of Narnia.
The Chronicles of the The lazy Sunday, the SNL. I mean, that really is how YouTube kind of
caught
on.
Yeah, but you don't watch SNL all the time.
Not that often. Yeah. But that also sounds like something with the word Narnia in it. Sounds like it's science fiction.
No. It was a rap. It was
kind of Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. I mean,
Narnia is, but the video.
The video is a rap that's making fun of going to see that movie.
I remember that Dick in a Box video.
Right. They got famous with the first one, and then Dick in the Box was the next one. Like YouTube kind of came to prominence, and so did he through them. But whatever, we're making this really dull.
Yeah, you are. Before we get into catching up on what everybody's doing, I want to give a shout out to a few people who make this all possible for us. In Touch Magazine is your only LGBTQ community news magazine.
Which exists.
It's right here in the studio with us.
I have my hands on a copy to
Al
prove it.
Al had a little confusion earlier as to what the hell magazine we were really promoting. That's the one.
25 Years of Jell-O is our cover story.
Well, that's last month.
So when you thought we were dull.
Jell-O has been, I've often wondered.
At least we're not doing a...
And it's the last week that we'll have In Touch Magazine.
I'm just telling you.
I've always wondered what the shelf life of Jell-O was. Now
we know. 25 years, oddly. And Twinkies, about the same thing. I also want to give a shout-out to Nimic Photography. We'll tell you a little bit more about them, but they are a fun group of people to do your headshots with or any kind of family portraits. And also, one of us this evening got here via Rainbow Cab. Marnie was the one. Al and it wasn't a go green. It was just for the hell of it because we're fat and we got to do something about it. We rode our bikes today to the illustrious studio. We got to name this though. We'll come up with something.
I had a monkey launched at me from that cab, so just beware that not only are they pet friendly, but those pets attack.
They do attack.
Which chariot were you brought in?
So Sue came to get me.
In which chariot?
The Grand Cherokee. It's a Grand Cherokee.
She made a purchase at Ace Hardware, and it's a launch like a monkey that you can like a rubber band. And
every cabbie needs a launch monkey.
Totally. And she looks at me and she says, "Do you want to go ahead and shoot this at Clayton?" And I said, "Oh, no.
No, that's a bad idea.
That will not go over well." I said, "Only person I know that can maybe get away with that is Al Perkins."
Right, and he's not stupid enough to do that.
Yeah, and I did the disclaimer that I don't think so.
No.
And of course, I pull up with my headphones on full blast, Heaven 17, just going full tilt, and I've got these two women's mouths moving at me, and then a monkey comes at me. So I'm like,
it was a great Saturday night.
What conversation did I miss that a monkey launched at me?
Oh, for the love.
We have a new sponsor this week, Ultimate Vodka from Poland.
Oh, because is that what you're drinking
today?
That's
what I'm drinking today. That my handle of Sky is gone. Six weeks on the air, and
I've got 6 weeks. I gotta go to Costco and get a full handle of Crown because I'm on the very end of my Crown. Buddy's doing Ultra, right?
Yes,
Nick Ultra.
I am.
And Marnie, what are you sipping on?
Bud Light.
A little Bud Light.
Bud Light in a blouse, a blouson.
A blouson.
That's French.
A Minnesota Viking blouson.
A blouson, I see. Well, buddy, we know that you were out last week because you had some previous engagements in Tempe with a political thing.
Well, I have a good friend from many, many, many years ago who was running for city council, and he...
Can he help you with the passport?
You know what? He's an attorney, actually. Why didn't I even think about that?
I think we found your quid pro quo for him.
Congratulations to Colby Granville, who is going to be an excellent city councilman for the city of Tempe.
Oh, congratulations.
Gotcha. I didn't know what you were going out there for because I just assumed it was the mayoral thing, but I wasn't sure. Wow. Okay, so there's that.
There's that.
Okay, buddy. Well, there you go.
Back to texting, dear.
his victory night party was at a little tiny bar that's name escapes me right now, but one guy approached
me.
And he's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I said, "Good." He said, "You look familiar." And I said, "Oh, I don't know. I just know Colby." He goes, "Well, you look like one of the Mesa Democrats." And I'm like, "What the fuck does a Mesa Democrat look like? And why do I look like one?"
Right. Does he look like a Mesa cop would be my next question.
Sergeant Ed Castillo.
That's right.
Calling all Sergeant Ed Castillo.
Please come down to the studio right away.
Oh, my Lord. For security purposes only.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Bombay.
Really.
Dr. Bombay.
Come right away. Oh, and Marnie, my dear, what have you done in the past?
How sweet of you to ask this week.
Oh, sensitive.
Without prompting. I just wanted to.
You know what? Get off the cross. We only got three nails. Yeah, I know. Only three nails this week. Jesus. All right.
Okay.
What kept you up all night, or what were you doing?
Really, nothing. Just like last week. Let it go.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing. Just kind of, I'm boring.
I got to see Marnie on, was it Saturday? I stopped by the place.
Yeah. Yes. That was a fantastic part of our weekend.
Well, here's what we learned on that day. We could install a ceiling fan route really quick. It took no time at all.
You're a trained professional by now. There's ceiling fans wherever you go.
It was everywhere, amazing. Right. Just came
so they had in their house, a ceiling fan burned out, so I had to go over and help put one in. Well, I just thought, well, let's just see what it does on reverse and how different it makes the room feel.
Well, and maybe you should clean before that happens.
Oh,
that's the it was,
oh, there's, it, that's something worth writing down.
It was snowing.
Yes, there were
but not white snow.
No. There were dust bunnies everywhere.
Well, he thought he would try
and you
it.
Have cats, too, I'm assuming.
I have.
Just by the lesbian thing.
They're outdoor cats, so I have dogs.
But, shocker. But okay.
Weird.
They get along like dykes and dogs.
Weird.
It's only an expression for a reason.
And I go outside, and I come back in, and it was a fucking winter wonderland in my house.
She's like, what happened? I'm like, I reversed the fan.
I'm like, don't do that again.
Right.
Change it. That was a mess. But, so it's a new way to sweep, though. I think that's going to be the new way to clean it. We figured out. Flip it the other way, and then let everything go. Turn it off. It'll settle.
And then clean that up, and you'll get everything that was there in the first place.
Yeah.
Now I have a question because as it gets warmer, I'm trying to sleep in the afternoon because I waitress at night.
Right.
And
24-hour restaurant. He's at
24-hour restaurant. 12 stories. Right. Really, really impressive. Bob's big boy. Which way in the summer? Because I know it makes a difference summer to winter. Which way the fan goes?
It blows down for summer, up for winter.
Thank you very much. But which way is that?
Clockwise is summer.
Look at the way the blades are pitched.
Yeah, it's going to...
All right, so somebody's going to have to draw me a picture.
You'd like a pie chart? Because apparently you think I'm good at fucking pie charts.
Yeah. Look up right now. And
no, see, yeah. If you're that's how your fan should be turning.
Okay, so it should
clockwise.
Be going...
That way.
Counterclockwise.
I realize people
that's
at home
clockwise.
Don't realize what way our fan is going.
12, 1, 2, 3, right? The right. Outside
it's
different than
yes. This way.
This way.
Okay, whatever.
Clockwise.
All right, whatever.
Right.
Moving on.
As long as if you're standing under the fan and it's blowing down on you in the winter, you need to reverse it.
Okay.
Just know that much.
All right, I got to
fix that.
Is
this show over yet? What the fuck?
I know, we are. Woo, our
old gay house is what we're on
our
now.
Our juju's off here.
Wow, one
it'll
week.
Get better.
Well,
it'll get better.
Yeah, well, we're at the Trevor Project campaign, I'll tell you.
Your radio show can get better, we promise.
1 week apart, and we feel like we're starting over six
it's
weeks
brand
ago.
New. It's all brand new.
Oh, I didn't realize it was going
like
to be
Joe Clayburgh over there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at her.
Oh,
right
the
now.
Delightful Dead.
Still dead.
It's my new soap opera, The Delightful Dead.
Oh, I don't know.
Other than that, nothing.
Wait, was that Joe Clayburgh or Marsha Mason?
Joe Clayburgh's dead.
No, in Starting Over.
Starting Over is Jill Clayburgh with a fabulous turn by Candace Bergen singing in the mirror.
Right,
it's a Burt Reynolds movie.
I got nothing.
Okay, remember when y'all checked out about the ceiling fan? I just checked out about the movie, just to let you know.
Jill Clayburgh, Marsha Mason, nothing to check out over.
Oh, I know. Two favorites of mine.
Oh.
Well, only one is
fantastic.
Dead, though.
Good. No relation to Natalie Wood at all anywhere? Just because I just
always
think somebody's...
I always figure somebody's
related to her, and I don't know why.
But in a weird trivia thing, Jill Clayburgh dated Al Pacino... And then later she had a child who now does love scenes in a play
with
Al
Kevin
Pacino.
Bacon?
Oh. No, with Al Pacino.
Oh.
So she's like, she's doing like sex scenes with her mom's
former
old
lover.
Boyfriend from the 70s.
Ooh,
that's weird.
So it's not just weird enough that they're like 70
I bet
years
that
apart.
That can't happen in North Carolina.
No.
Never.
Oh, we're not to North Carolina
yet. No, not yet.
Oh, is that? That's probably one of our topics.
Oh, it is.
I'm going to guess. Well, Al, I know we do have a very large story to talk to you about, but I thought if there was anything else you wanted to touch base on in regards to...
Well, I thought I'd start where I missed last week.
You were at La Cage.
I was at Tempe last week at La Cage, so this is going to take a minute, so go to the bathroom. So I saw La Cage in 83. I was lucky enough to see the original version, not the original cast. I saw it a little ways in. And at 16 years old, beautiful play about I am what I am and gay marriage long before its time. And just a fabulous, fabulous show. Dancing, singing... Lots of history to it. And then I saw the revival like 7-8 years ago. And I was thinking like, is it still topical? I went with younger people. I was trying to explain how much it meant to me. And Will and Grace was still going. So having somebody stand up and say, I am what I am, didn't quite have the same power. And I was too worried about what other people were getting out of it that I wasn't getting my own reaction. And this time I was like, fuck it. It's a different version. And I have to tell you, Christopher Siebert was the actor playing Alban. And he came out and did... And they do that Dreamgirls thing where they just piss him off, and they're mean to him, and shitty, and shitty, and shitty, and finally he just takes off the wig and screams this I Am What I Am song. And it was so powerfully done. And even after all these years and hearing disco versions and hearing it at every karaoke bar, having this man, like, just stand there half in drag, very sir or ma'am, and just put his foot down. And it's kind of talked. It's not done show tunesy. It's a very talk song. and just and the crowd went nuts. And there was people that I knew in front of us that had younger gays with them, and stopped the show cold. Like the first time he yelled out, "I am what I am," like stop the show. And you could just see these faces as we were talking about pride and all the history that people don't know and stuff like that. But you saw them get it. They don't need the whole, how did we get here? They just realized that they were watching something important. And it was really cool to see the audience like just spontaneously stop a show cold at the first time he said, "I am what I am." Not like the whole rest of it. By the time he got to the end of the song, took the wig off and gave a giant fuck you to the audience. It was brilliantly done.
Wow.
The reviews for him were amazing.
Yeah.
They said he was the show.
He was.
Otherwise, the reviews were a little tepid.
George Hamilton, sound problems aren't going anywhere. Yeah. George Hamilton, not a singer, but very charming. And he did Zorro the Gay Blade. He did Love at First Bite back in the 70s. Oh God, so he had that campy. He's got a campy comedy history. When he was comedic, it worked. He was very charming, very suave. You believed him as this lover of, you know, and but if they're lovers, like they don't, Birdcage kind of softens it and kind of sweeps it to the sides how much in love they are, but they get a lovely love song called Song in the Sand that they sing to each other, and it's a beautiful love story. It really and truly is. And I got a CD in the mail today that had some liner notes on it and how they wanted to make sure that it was about a loving couple, and it really came across. So for that whole political thing lately and these fuckers in North Carolina that we're going to get to, like, it really tied it in and made it pertinent today into, like, a fuck-off to Rick Santorum and, you know, whatever his name is that the Republican Party is now going to run against gays. That's their platform now, is they're not even for civil unions.
Isn't it everybody in the Republican Party?
No.
Not everybody.
But now they had to take the stand because since we've been gone, Obama came out not just for civil unions, but outright for gay marriage and made his comments for gay marriage. So now they have to do everything opposite. One of the funniest things I've read lately is that he should come out in favor of yellow snow, so you could hear Republicans talk about why you should eat yellow snow. He should come out against yellow snow so that Republicans have to explain why you should eat it.
Right.
Because they just have to be against whatever he's for. Yeah. So
it
was a very brilliant thing that he did to force them into that corner. Now, that's my first soapbox.
We're only
17 minutes in.
I know, but and you already said that we may have to extend this to a 3-hour show just because have a lot. No, I'm sure we'll be revisiting.
Yeah.
I've met you before.
Yeah.
And you're only 3 sips into that ultimate vodka
right
now.
And this is the stuff that I think is water, so I'm going to be really drunk today. Because I can't tell the ultimate vodka from Poland. I cannot tell the difference between the water and the vodka. It's dangerous.
The water is the frozen ice particles that are in it. That's what I'm telling you right there.
Isn't that the first sign that you might have a problem when you can't tell the difference between
that's not a problem. That's good vodka.
Oh.
And for our keeping it green thing, this is my same bottle of water from the first week. I keep using my funnels to refill it. So
you keep using the bottle. It's not the same water.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a sip of water in weeks. My kidneys are shot.
It out and I...
I love it.
I'm never going to flush a toilet. That's how I'm going to keep the earth green.
Oh, jeez. Easy beats.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, any other news on the pool front now that I think about water?
Oh, no. Now we're thinking about moving. Now we're on real estate. Yeah.
I think I like that better, and I think you should move into my neighborhood and live right there in the hood.
Oh,
I think
Lord have
gotta
mercy.
Find,
so
gotta
if
find a
Sergeant Edward Castillo also dabbles in real estate, he could call us with tips for things for sale
there. We want you to move. No, no. You got to stay in Central Phoenix. You can't
go. Oh, no. Oh, fuck no.
What the hell?
I signed something saying no Mesa years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
For anything, I understand.
Hey, you're talking to a Mesa Democrat here, so
I wanted to say, that's a half thank you. Thank you for thinking I'm a Democrat, but fuck you for thinking I live in Mesa.
Yeah.
So I guess fuck you covers it. You get the fuck and it's a half of the thank you. There you go.
For the love. Okay,
Mesa's lovely.
We have a lot to talk about in regards to headlines, so
when you drive through it.
55 miles an hour on a foggy night. It is
get
a lovely
town. Get out on the other
town.
Side. You're fine.
We have a lot of headlines to get to, so we're going to start that right after this.
I'll be waitressing this evening.
I'm sure that'll be fantastic. Right here on on Q Talk Arizona.
And now, we dance.
Here are the headlines that we're going to be talking about this evening on Q-Talk Arizona. Pot found floating off the coast of Southern California. Oregon workers win an on-site toilet fight. A math lab test confirms a dealer's concerns. A woman fired for being too sexy at a lingerie company. And a man with 30 kids wants help paying his child support. And it's been a bad week for disco. These headlines and much, much more tonight on Q-Talk Arizona.
Oh. I love your music now. The Cicadia button. Yeah.
That's nothing but the most important headlines here on Q Talk.
Oh, we get. But you all, you all bring your
Can't
own.
Can we just talk about the gay black Jewish rapper again?
No. Well, I have a note. I have a note here, and how disappointed I am that I missed Jew Week.
I know, right?
Well, I could probably really find the story if we need to readdress it.
I'm a listener.
Actually.
Long-time listener.
Long-time listener.
And if I knew what was wrong with the goddamn thing, we'd have callers tonight, but we don't.
I have a feeling that, that rapper will be in here one day.
Could. We might be able to actually get him on the air.
I think we could. Without paying him.
Well, you never know about these kind of things.
He'll be at Pride next year.
Just off the coast of Dana Point, California, authorities say 3.5 tons of marijuana were found floating in the ocean. A boater spotted 160 bales of pot around noon on Sunday, about 15 miles off the coast. Orange County authorities and the Coast Guard sent boats to gather up the pot and turn it over to U.S. Border Patrol. And they say that it's unclear who dumped it, which together weighs about 7,000 pounds and estimated at $3 million. And authorities said, oddly, there was no boat in sight and no distress calls sent. So they have no idea how all
That's because they're all high.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
California schools are in so much trouble.
Sell it. Sell it for $7 million.
Again, victimless. The marijuana is a victimless crime.
But I was, now, based on the other people that I know who aren't in restaurants, but they're in, apparently restaurant support, they
very real profession.
They use, when they collect items like meth and pot and different things, they use those in undercover and they sell them to undercover stings to bust people. So I'm going to assume
I never thought about that, because you would have to have a real deal to get yourself in.
Right. So a couple friends of mine who are undercover cops, who will remain nameless.
That's part of the deal.
Still undercover. Yes. Right.
I have a friend in Minnesota that does the same thing.
Does Ed Castillo get undercovers? Because I was
not anymore.
Different, totally, anymore. Totally different.
Wrong covers, darling.
While I appreciate your effort, that's the wrong undercover. You know what I decided? We haven't really had a lot of drinks. I think you'd have drinks. That's all.
I know. I need that.
I can't
ice
do
though.
It with my
It's
hair.
A different cup. You have to get a different cup and more ice to make it tinkly. Oh, if we had real glass, I bet I can find a sound effect for that. We'll do that.
I know. I love it.
Right up by the microphone.
Barry, George, and Martha.
It's all right.
You ready?
That's good.
So Dana Point, huh?
I was actually the only time I was at Dana Point. I have relatives out there, my mom's cousins, and I actually was on a sailboat in Dana Point many years ago.
Where is that?
Dana Point is south of
like by Linda Loma, I think, isn't it? Like in that area, it's around San Diego.
I think Loma it's Linda? Like between.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's west of here.
I'm sure if one of our lazy asses could put a drink down and Google map that shit. Now we have internet and I just choose not to use it.
By the way, in case you were trying to interact with the show tonight, we'd like you to use our live chat, which is on, go to the show page on the website. You can go to live chat or feel free to email us at theshow@qtalkaz.com. Or if you've got our numbers, just text us. Oregon workers win an on-site toilet fight. Two workers claimed they were forced to urinate in a bucket, have been awarded $332,000 after a jury found that they were fired for complaining to Oregon regulators about the lack of an on-site toilet. They testified that their employer refused to provide them a toilet and that they couldn't use a business's restrooms nearby because they weren't welcome there. They were performing mechanical work at Portland International Airport. Now, oddly, the state also...
So it's the local business nearby, the airport?
I don't know, but it didn't say in the story.
Well, and are they opposed to lumberjacks or something? I don't understand.
I don't know, but it says that coincidentally the same company was cited in 2010 for also failing to provide restrooms, and then the two men were fired after the settlement was reached.
That sounds like that person who gave the kidney and then got fired. Did you hear about that?
Yes, right.
Right.
She's a friend of a friend.
Are you serious?
Six degrees of separation.
2 degrees. Yeah. We're down to two.
Down to two.
Well, I guess we are.
She's a friend of my friend Jill, who you met at my birthday last year, a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
She's a friend of hers. And yeah, there, a lot of
That's
drama went down
crazy.
After that. Yeah.
Well, aside from the fact that she
here's
only has
my,
one kid.
Here's my internal organ. You're fired.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now in the story though, her kidney specifically did not go to her boss because she wasn't a match.
Yeah, they did that pay it forward.
Right. So she was willing.
Her kidney went to a complete stranger.
Right.
And the reason she got fired was because she missed work.
Because of her recuperation time. They said that she was taking too long, and they didn't want to show favoritism, even though she was going to give the favor of the kidney to the like, really?
Really?
Yeah. That's so she gave it to someone who was a match, and they're... Right. And, yeah, anyways, that...
Unbelievable.
That pay it forward thing with organs, I don't know.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
I'm gonna want an essay and a song. Like you gotta tell me why.
You gotta
work for my kidney.
So basically, these guys had to shit in a bucket.
Dance monkey.
Well, I just said urinate. The story didn't say anything about anything other than number one.
Okay.
So I figured, you know,
let's leave it at that.
I don't know.
I'm gonna vomit.
that's not thorough.
Well,
Jenna,
I mean, as I'm pee shy, but when I'm in the woods, I don't give a shit. I mean, hell, if I'm in Scottsdale Road, I don't give a shit.
I wouldn't be in the woods.
The only time I'm pee shy is in a bathroom.
I wouldn't be in the woods
in a trough with 37 other guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That bar closed, so I'm just letting you know.
Behind a dumpster, I'm good.
What?
No, there was a trough.
Six would be
there
like
was a
camping.
Trough at BS West for many years.
I remember
I cleaned that motherfucker.
I remember that.
Ew.
Yes.
Yeah.
A drug.
Yeah.
A drug-dealing scientist's suspicions were confirmed today after what he thought was a substandard batch of methamphetamine after it tested to be positive and good. Meth lab technician Vincent Diego is concerned about the ramifications of the lab findings.
God fucking, when I fucking find him,
The drug trade industry is going for more rigorous peer review of Diego's results, and the findings are going to be published in the Methamphetamine Journal of Science and Technology.
I was looking down and to the left, and Buddy Early is on my right, and all of a sudden, this yelling voice kind of came out, and I looked right, I'm like, oh my God.
We're being invited.
I don't even know what to do with that, sir, so you got to move on.
I don't either.
I'm going to vote move on that one.
I'm going to say done. Yeah, because I thought Buddy Early was just yelling at us.
Because it's so nice they named it twice. In New York, a woman says she was fired for appearing to be too sexy at work, even though she works for a lingerie company.
Oh, Google her.
Oh, yeah.
If you're at home, Google image her.
$10 says she's butt ugly.
Laura? No, she's not.
She's not.
But
she has like the biggest boobs ever.
But, I mean, my thought would be, because they said she was distracting and she had to work in a bathrobe or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
My personal thought is she got the job, then she went out and bought these machangas.
Uh-huh.
And
it had to have been, because otherwise she would have been in.
They're like the size of two bongo drums.
They are. They're watermelons.
Like, they're just, it's not.
Like two of Al Perkins' heads.
No, yeah. Bigger. Like, bigger. Bigger.
Right.
Yeah. Bigger.
Laura Ode said that she was told she was hired on the spot because she was so qualified, but she says that she was quickly fired for looking too sexy. When my supervisor, quote, when my supervisor asked if I would tape my breasts down, I asked them, are you kidding me? She worked at a company called Native Intimates, which is a lingerie wholesale company.
Wholesale,
right. She filed a complaint with the EEOC, and that's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, for those of you who don't know, and hired attorney, and this is the ringer for me, she hired Gloria Allred.
Oh, but you know, Gloria Allred, who I, as far as I know, is it Allred?
Allred.
Uh-huh. Gloria Allred, who, as far as I knew, only really represented women. I never knew of her
just
doing...
Just took on men.
Just took on men with
John
the bevy of beauties that have been that assaulted by John Travolta.
Yeah.
And a comedian recently just said, and I have to agree with it, why not use female masseuses?
Sure.
Masseuai? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how we plural that word.
Well, and why not just hire one that's always with you?
Or, you know, put your fucking wife through masseuse school.
There you go, Kelly Preston.
She needs a job. Rita Wilson needs her teeth whitened. Speaking of famous women's wives.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's on your soapbox,
famous
too.
What is
wives.
This gal's name again?
Laura Odes, O-D-E-S. She also believes that the owners, who, by the way, are Orthodox Jewish men, felt her clothing drew too much attention from other coworkers.
And they sell crotchless panties.
She said that she tried wearing more conservative clothing, but it was still, quote, not enough. I do not feel that an employer has the right to impose their religious beliefs on me when I'm working in a business that is not a synagogue, but instead selling thongs with heart placed on the female genitalia and boy shorts for women saying hot in the butt area.
And crotchless panties.
Right. So these Jews are making money off of her, but by God, she can't look hot in the work spot.
Don't you lose your Orthodox Jew standing when you start selling crotchless? I mean, I'm all for capitalism.
Well, I don't disagree, but I thought you had to wear like your dresses had to go below the knees, and there was all kinds
of
covering.
Just as long as your dairy doesn't go with your meat, you're
as,
good.
As
there was a hand gesture with
I
that.
I actually heard this story while driving around.
Unless it's through a sheet.
While driving around earlier today, she was quoted. She said that she was told when she was hired, she asked about a dress code, and they told her, just look around and see what everybody else is wearing, and that she felt that she was actually quite conservatively dressed in relation to everybody else, but because her tits were so big.
They're huge.
And she actually, in her defense, she was wearing what I would call her mother of the bride dress. I thought it was... I didn't realize she was working in the dress that she was wearing in the picture that I saw. It was a royal blue, like, head sleeves kind of, like, craziness.
Like a Holly Hobby dress?
But there, you know, Jessica Simpson was really supposed to be a Christian...
we're going to get to...
A Christian music singer, but she was very big-busted. And to go on the tours and to do all the Christian radio shows, they kept asking her to strap herself down. And she's a buxom girl.
She sure is.
And so that's why she went to country music. She went a different route because she wasn't going to... What is this, Yentl? And I heard
Papa,
this story...
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I heard this story about her and I thought...
No more.
Really, boobs?
Seriously.
Like, what are these people... What aren't they against? I don't get it.
That's too funny.
Well, everybody's got to be against something.
Of course. And if you could be against those, I guess you'd be happy if you were that way.
Okay.
A 33-year-old man who fathered 30
Jesus?
Kids...
Jesus?
No. Okay. Who fathered 30 kids is asking for the state of Tennessee to give him a hand in paying his child support. Desmond Hatchett is having a tough time making ends meet while working a minimum wage job and seeing half of his paycheck get split up between his 11 baby mamas.
I had four kids in the same year twice.
This mom has two children with Hatchett. She's supposed to get $67.50 a month.
It'll make it through half the month. He's a heavy milk drinker, and milk is not cheap.
Hatchett agrees he should do what's best for the kids.
Now, do you intend to keep having children?
No.
You're done.
I'm done. Hopefully I'm done.
What made you decide that?
I didn't intend to have this many. It just happened.
It just happened. Incidentally, his 30 kids are a record for Knox County. And some
for Knox, just for Knox County.
Knox.
One county over.
Not for the rest of Tennessee.
My buddy grew up in the Appalachians. That's
some of his kids, after everything's divided up, some of his kids get literally $1.49 a month
but
in child
support.
Are
they the big milk drinkers?
I don't know about that.
Okay, I hope not.
It's really good to know that he has a line.
Yes.
And apparently 30, that's what he's going to stop
Well,
now.
He actually, and I edited the story out, he actually was in court a couple years ago, and he only had 21. And they thought that he was done, but somehow he fit 9 more in.
Well, okay, and now there's going to be some fucking person that comes out against birth control again. This is send him condoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Get him neutered. Get him neutered.
But think about it. The whole sterilization thing.
Oh.
I know that people are opposed.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I think you should have to. You should have to get a chemical something to make you fertile, as opposed to just being born fertile.
The idea of the people that are out there and they're carrying 9 on their hip and they got one more in the oven.
Can we talk about the 11 baby mamas?
Right.
Like, what is their role in this stupidity?
Right. And clearly, there's not a Planned Parenthood anywhere near these people.
Part of the audio that I edited out of there, where he says they all knew what they were signing up for, and that I had a big family. I swear to God.
Wow.
I don't know if they just go to Six Flags and a Winnebago. I don't know what they do.
Can we go back to the idea of education, though, before,
before please, yes.
anything?
At all times. But
he sounded really smart.
That's what's lacking.
Yeah.
And cut out the education.
And
why not?
At a very young age. I mean, the idea...
He's 29 years old, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I thought you said he was 33.
No, I think he's...
No, he has 30 kids. We might have gotten confused.
I think he's 29.
You said something about 33. That's why I asked if it was Jesus.
Granted...
Oh, my bad. It does say here. I thought he said he was 20... In the story, I thought it said 29.
By the way, even still?
Still.
Really?
At 30, you got... Really?
Right.
But the idea, granted, when
that sperm's just
out,
walking across the street and jumping up on...
It's
like a Woomba.
Crawling up...
His sperm will find you.
So it's not as though when we were young that kids weren't having kids. Okay? And I have to put my hand in there, and that's for a different reason.
You have a child? Okay.
But the idea that
dogs
there are people, little ones, that I know right now that are 14 years old that have had kids, 12 years old, that have had children.
Right,
and
right.
The idea that that's where the education kind of stuff, poverty, education... That's me. Sorry.
No. I agree.
I mean, just
they're hand and it's all linked.
It is all linked.
It is all linked. Like, it's not, the people say it's like a race war in the country. It's a poverty war.
It is a poverty war.
The common denominator is poverty.
Absolutely.
With education, with sex education, with knowing, this is what your woo-woo does. It makes babies. Close your fucking legs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then they're like, oh, it should be taught at home by people
who don't know how to.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have this one. They knew what they was getting into.
Like, that's, is his name C.K. Lewis? What's that comedian's name?
Right.
That I don't know.
He's got a real funny quote on Pinterest this week about how he does, sex education isn't taught in schools because you're too, it's too uncomfortable for you to tell your fucking kids about why gay men love. He's like, well, I shouldn't have to suffer because you're ugly fucking kids.
Right.
It's a really funny quote. I'm bashing it all up and making it much less eloquent because he used fuck very effectively, and I just throw it out there.
You just use it often.
Yeah, just go for it.
I read about that earlier, though, the 30 kids thing, and it just made me, that's why I was telling Al before we started the show, I said, I found so much today in the news that just made me shake my fucking head.
And I've been trying to stay, I've been trying to stay very positive on what I'm watching this week.
Well, for
a lot of reasons, I agree, but I couldn't.
I know we do have a lot more topics that we're going to talk about, but I want to get into this, and I don't want this to be a bad portion of the show. But however, it's been a bad week for disco music.
Yeah,
it's been
bad.
A bad week. It certainly has been a tragedy for disco fans around the world, losing two music icons in one week. Crowned the queen of disco, the one and only Donna Summer, and also Robin Gibb, the man who in his own rights equally merits the title of king of disco, has sadly passed away, both succumbing to cancer at the young age of...
I would say one of the princes of disco.
Well, I didn't write the copy. I didn't write the copy.
But continue, I'm sorry.
A prince that should have had his teeth fixed.
Clayton had an intern write this copy.
Oh, no, I just steal it off the internet and edit it to make it sound so it's shorter. They both passed away from cancer at 62 and 63, respectively. Wow.
I did a donation today to cancer. I was on Donna Summer, wanted you to donate to Salvation Army.
Oh, I thought you were about to tell us you donated your hair.
Yes, I did. I shaved up my hair for Locks of Love.
So you don't look like Joyce DeWitt anymore.
I think they're going to have a really small chia pet get hair.
Now, we all know that you have been a lifelong fan of the
and,
Summer.
And using the short for fanatic. Like,
right,
like
exactly.
Bordering on mental illness.
So you, the funny thing is, when I was awakened by a text message from a friend in Seattle saying, is it true that Donna died? And I'm like, Donna who? I mean, like, because never
Donna mind. Donna Pascal?
Right,
I would be upset.
I'm like, I don't know. Donna Shalala? I don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah, who are we talking about?
So I was kind of blown away because the last person I would have ever had in my mind would have been Donna Summer. So I got up, obviously turned on CNN, and it's there. And like, it wasn't minutes after that, but she gives me a text. She goes, how's Al?
Oh my God, how's Al doing?
And I'm like,
because I didn't want to reach out.
Because my concern is, I sent you a text, I sent something on Facebook, but then I'm like, because I don't want to intrude, because I figured, you know, this was it. This was like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you didn't respond all day, and I'm like, oh, shit.
He was at the restaurant night before.
Right. So he went home and went to sleep, so he didn't realize, because the news didn't break until about, 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I had gone to sleep, and I it was just funny to, not to make this all about me, but it kind of was with her death.
Join us again next week when it's all about Al.
I know. And here we go. We have
again.
I think we have an hour and 22 minutes.
Right.
I woke up and it was, and now that my house is now the showroom for Apple.
it is, because he's got everything they make.
Everything.
That's what he said.
And everything was kind of beeping, and I was like, all right, what the hell is going on? I woke up just a little bit early, and the first thing I noticed, and my phone lights up with banners, so I see like a little bit of your message, and I see them all in a row. And one of them was from a crazy batshit friend of mine who is so unstable and so near suicide that I just about shit my pants, because all I saw was, are you okay? And I thought, oh, sweet Jesus. Did I sleep through a nuclear holocaust? If this motherfucker is reaching out,
is the Mayan calendar coming to an end already?
Exactly.
Right.
This person
is early, not late.
And I honestly thought, like, this motherfucker is reaching out to someone else for the first time in his life? I almost died. And I was really afraid to what was going to be in the phone.
Wow.
Or to open my shades, because I thought, okay.
SWAT is out there.
Yeah.
I'm apparently the only one who survived.
God tried to smote me. So I honestly, I didn't believe it, and I was just in shock as I went through the messages. And then my sister, the queen of tact, who every once in a while decides, the one that's not as funny as the other one. The one that's less funny.
Nobody barks, though. Nobody barks.
No. Not the barker's funny.
Yeah, she looks nice in a jumpsuit.
Yeah. Does she talk to you again yet? No.
Yeah. Okay. So she sends a text saying, well, at least you don't have to spend any more time going to see her in concert.
I'm like, bitch. Oh,
she did.
And I had to send back like a fuck you text to her. Oh. And she called me right away. She's like, oh, I didn't mean it. I'm like, well, I don't know how you meant that. But
I know. How did you mean it?
Because one of the joys of my life has been traveling all over the country to see Donna in concert. Sure. And so I have to, I'm watching the clock to make sure I don't go too long. So I just
we got to keep going. Okay.
I'm making a note of the time.
Yeah, exactly. I am please actually watching. So funny
wait,
story.
I'll write that down.
Somewhere in 78, like I want to say like August, September, Jimmy and Christy McNichol of all people.
Oh my gosh.
Had a TV special. Sure. And we're going to pretend I was in love with Jimmy McNichol because he has a penis, but I was really in love with Christy.
Right. I think she has a penis
bigger
too.
She has a bigger penis.
She may have white, right.
I may or may not have been also at that time with Jimmy.
I was so in love. But they did a little disco medley they ended with a song called Last Dance, which I had never heard.
I kind of recall that.
I was so obsessed with Grease that I had missed this last dance song, this Thank God It's Friday movie. Came from a town with three theaters. And so I got to buy a 45 for 99 cents at Kmart. And me and my mom went to Kmart. We bought, and I said, I want this Last Dance song. And I'm like, it's by Jimmy and Christy McNichol, clearly, because they're such big stars.
Of course it is.
And my mom was like, well, it says this Donna Summer person. I'm like, well, it's got to be the song. So we brought it home, and I put it on my record player, and my life changed. Like, I listened to that every minute of every day. And I would force people to come into the basement and listen to it. And it was more because I was mad at them. Like, how did this voice and this song, how did I live to be, like, 9 years old or 11 years old? How did you let me go? How did I make it to 11 years old and not have heard this beautiful voice before? And I love disco already. This song that has kind of like an old-fashioned big band sound to it with, like, all these rich instrumentation and that fucking voice. Yeah. And I held my family hostage, relatives, cousins. I made people walk home from school with me, and they had to listen to the song in headphones. Like, I would stand there in silence. They would listen by themselves in headphones, and I would watch the reaction, like, do you love her yet? Do you love her yet? Do you love her yet? And for Christmas that year, my sister, swear to God, was like, she gave it to me a day early, and it became a tradition to give me whatever album I wanted the day before Christmas. She was like, play another fucking song. There's a whole
was it an album,
album
by Christy like, McNichol no, and Jimmy McNichol?
Oh, we had forgotten about them second time through the record. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But she gave me Live and More for Christmas, and I was like, I was pissed off at the world.
Sure.
How did I go this long without knowing this woman existed? And the voice just stayed with me in that album. I knew every word. Every aside, right. I know I can introduce the band with her. I know who plays every instrument. I memorize the liner notes. Like, I have that album. Sure. If you ever don't have a copy, just invite me over. I'll do the whole fucking thing for you.
I'd love it.
Well,
so years and years later, I got to see her in Vegas on a whim, on a day, like a day with no money. Flew to Vegas in the 80s when she was playing and didn't even have money for a hotel that night. I actually had to like sit in the casino till my plane took off in the morning and went and saw her and just cried through the whole concert and sang every word and screamed and had some kind of fit. And it was back in the old Vegas where you just sat at a table with people you didn't know. It was cocktail tables at the old International, the Hilton. So then a couple years later, 10 years later, I go to see her in Tahoe. And I went to Caesars, and I was getting my hair cut for the show, and I'm so excited.
This is a great story.
So I'm in the Caesars hair salon. I'm getting my hair done. I'm getting my nails done. And the whole time I'm talking, and it was her Christmas album was just a little bit, like a year old. It was her birthday. It was at midnight. It was going to be New Year's Eve, which would have been her birthday. And I was so excited to see. I had never been to Tahoe, and it was Caesars. It was the big room at Caesars in Tahoe, which isn't a very big room. And I was talking to the hairdresser, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm talking to the hairdresser, and I'm telling her how much I loved Donna Summer. It's been my whole life. You know, at this point, it'd been like 16, 17 years. Just, I could not get enough. I was so excited, and I'm pretty much, like I'm doing right now, like just listing how excited I was to see her in concert again. It was like the third time. And the lady in the chair next to me was just kind of smiling and looking at me, and she goes, you know, she was like, I really hope that this person that you're going to see in concert tonight is aware of, like, how affected you are by her and how much you love her. And I looked in the mirror, and I'm like, I know you. I'm like, you're Seal Kasha. And she's like, what? I'm like, you're on the A&E biography. You're the one that knows she can paint. You're her friend.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, holy shit, you're crazy. She's like, not only do you know Donna Summer, she's like, you've memorized everybody in the videos. I'm like, I know exactly who you are.
Yes.
That's so fantastic.
She said to me, she's like, all right, after the show, she's going to be signing some artwork. They're selling some lithographs of her paintings. You know, follow this trail after the show, and you can buy
the Yellow Brick
you
Road.
Can buy some of her artwork, and she's signing some of it. So I was so excited. That was going to be a great show. It wasn't a great show. She wasn't in great voice that night. It was a terrible casino crowd. It was that mid holiday week. Everything was working against her, and she was ill. So it was a short show, but nobody knew but me. I knew which was supposed to be coming. But I went back, and they said, you know, her throat is bothering her. She won't be talking. There's this line if you just want to buy a lithograph, and this line she's going to sign them for you, but she really can't talk. So I get in line to get it signed, and of course I have no money, but I have credit card, so I get what I want. And so I get in line for her signing, and she wears the white gloves, and she's just kind of nodding, and she did the little gesture like, sorry, I can't talk, and she signed it, and she smudged the thing, and she goes, oh, we'll get you another one. And I was like, stop talking, don't fuck with that voice. And she just kind of laughed. And she's like, no, I'll get... Stop talking! Do not risk that voice. And then she's like, thank you for... Stop talking to me! And she was kind of like giggling and laughing. And I had already met her one time before.
Fear.
So I had already pledged my eternal love for her at a different meeting. So we had nothing left to say to each other. But I was so...
Did she give you a new one?
Yeah, she did. She signed a new one, and she just giggled the whole time. And she was doing the whisper, and I just kept saying, stop talking.
Did you keep the old one as well?
No, it was way too much money. I'm sure she sold that to somebody behind me that wasn't as charming.
Sure.
But I have it framed. So in my house, I have a framed Donna Summer lithograph that's actually hand-signed by her. And I got to meet her a couple times, and I've been devastated all week. And my thing this week with my anti-religion thing is, I'm not against religious people. I'm just not for religion. I don't believe in it. And I don't personally, I'm not Christian. But I always say, like in the case of my mom and Donna Summer, I hope they're right. That's the two times I hope that I'm wrong in that argument is for their sakes, because they seem to believe.
I think, I mean,
I wrapped that up in way less time than I thought.
That is fanaticism to a degree that I do not know.
Right.
Although I will, I think the closest thing I can think of is...
I have that for Rick Springfield.
The way you are with Donna Summer is how I will be with Dolly Parton when she...
Sure.
Goes.
Right. Oh.
Yeah. In fact, I'm secretly hoping that I die before Dolly, so I won't have to
feel that pain.
In a related story, a woman was fired for having too big a tits at a lunch.
Well, I will say this to you, and I'll say this to you about Rick Springfield. I know. I want to make it. Just don't like. I got a text from someone that said, oh, I'm so sad that I never got to see her live. And I'm like, well, that's your fucking fault.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, so she's seen him a million times.
Right. But
the first face and the second.
And I jumped up on stage and he put his arm around me.
Make sure you, especially Dolly Parton, because she's phenomenal live. So
I've never seen her in that.
I didn't realize that about you and Dolly. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little crazy.
That's good. I didn't know. I didn't realize that.
I had shared with Clayton that I went to Vegas to see Barry Manilow, being a huge
I'm a Manilow fan, too.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Crazy Manilow. And was there with three other people, and all of a sudden, you know, Barry's singing, and everything is fantastic, and it was the first time I'd ever seen him. And he said, I'd like to invite a friend. And out came Donna Summer.
Oh, to sing Could It Be Magic.
Nice. Yeah.
We watched that clip yesterday.
It
was fantastic. And yeah. It was just where you just had the chills, and you were like, okay, I didn't sign up for this, and I'm super glad, you know, for the surprise.
And he did, as well as she did, a lot of stuff for Gay Men's Health Crisis. Mm-hmm. For music, they both were big contributors to Music Cares, the Equity Fights AIDS kind of deal for the music industry. Like, they did a lot of charity work. Elton John was very supportive of her and her not being in the Hall of Fame this week.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
And about how much she does for his Elton John's AIDS Foundation, like just how active she is in the community with raising, and she's raised a lot of money.
Sure.
But there's no drugs. Yeah, like there's no drugs in this story. There's no broke.
Isn't that weird?
She hasn't had a real hit in like 23 years, except for in my house.
And Ray J. and Ray J. is
not involved.
There
so it's kind of shitty when they get to the news story
for exhaustion.
That they can't play it up. Can't drag her through the mud. Well, and she's worth $75 million is the estimate, and has houses that even people like me that stalk her weren't aware of. And they said she died in Florida. I was like, oh, street corner. She lives in Nashville. And then I find, you know,
Nashville.
Yeah, she's lived in Nashville.
Her funeral's in Nashville.
Her funeral's in Nashville Wednesday. I'm not going. I wasn't invited.
Yeah. But no,
and that would stop you?
I was going to say.
No, but it's very private. And there's a woman on the web. She runs the Donna Summer tribute site. And she's just a notch crazier than I am. Wow. God bless her. And she got to, and I only have the internet because of Donna Summer. The only reason I got an email name was because I found out there was something called the internet, and you could stalk Donna Summer better online.
Okay, so let me tell just a tiny backstory about this. So Al had to go to work at the restaurant on the night, you know, or the evening that, you know, Donna died. So I'm texting and calling, and I'm emotional too, because the backstory for me was that, like, that's the second album of my lifetime. My mom used to work for a record distributor, and we had all kinds of music in the house, which is always great. But for some reason, leaning in front of the stereo, you know, remember back in the 70s, I don't know if your parents did, but like there were apple crates, and mom had all of her albums and apple crates, sure. And the stereo was sitting, you know, all that stuff. And we had no lava lamp, but there was like incense and other stuff. It seemed like there was always Boston Fern.
I had a disco light. Just
we didn't have indoor plumbing, but we had the stereo.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
So for some reason, that album, the Live and More live concert, was sitting there. And I don't know, it was on, or I liked it, and I glommed onto that like crazy, and I listened to it all the time. Still, I still have it to this day. Of course, I don't get rid of anything anyway, but I still have that.
Oh, I have that.
And then when the cassette of when the On the Radio Greatest Hits cassette came out, because it had Enough Is Enough on it, and I was done. I just played the hell out. So I was rather emotional myself. So I got finally when I talked to Al. Later that day, it was he was like, record everything you can. Like, I recorded Extra and Entertainment Tonight and this. And Entertainment Tonight did a fantastic job that night.
They really did.
Like, half of the show. Well, the odd thing was it was Donna Summer's death and Paula Deen's
Diabetes. Oh. Which, you know, in a world where I had woken up to hear that she died of, like, something diabetes related because she had put on some weight.
Sure.
I would have been like, okay, that makes sense. I'm like, lung fucking cancer. And we had just talked about Ryan O'Neill's cancer tour.
Yeah.
And, like, how weird it was that he was going around promoting his cancer and talking about a cancer.
Right.
And here is this you know, arguably equally famous, I think, that's Ryan O'Neill and Donna Summer.
Differently.
Really?
In different ways. But
sure.
He had, you know, a great string of hit movies and stuff like that. He was an icon of his time.
Sure.
But he's out there, like, pushing his cancer, and here's this woman
Have you heard about that, buddy? You kind of have a confused look on your face. About pushing his cancer?
No, we talked about
it.
He was there.
His death tour.
The death tour.
I'm dying, so let's book me everywhere and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just thought that was very, very odd. And then Billboard Music did...
The shittiest thing.
They had Natasha Bedingfield walk out unprepared, like clearly wasn't comfortable with teleprompters, and kind of do this little awkward thing about Donna Summer and the music never dying, and then started to sing Last Dance and started off a little shaky, and then just when she hit the chorus, like... And this show is brought to you by Chevy, and they went to commercial.
What?
Like, I know, they did like an hour long to drug addict Whitney Houston, and then Donna Summer, and again, arguably equally famous in their day, both had their time in the sun.
Right.
But to get like, that's, you're going to cut to commercial?
Right. Well, then they tried to say that they're going to do a bigger thing later.
You saw The View today.
I saw The View.
Thought, okay, Friday's on tape on The View, but Monday I thought they would address, because they always say goodbye to celebrities. And they didn't, because they were doing the Paula Deen diabetes thing. So I'm like, is Paula Deen's diabetes going to... Is it going to be like the Farrah Fawcett, Michael Jackson thing, where you got the sugar beaties is going to compete with the Queen of Disco?
Right, absolutely.
So then today, Whoopi was back, and Whoopi did a very nice tribute and said that Billboard apologized, because it's ABC. So they had to apologize for ABC, because it was really ABC's fuck-up. So, I mean, just very strange. And... Yeah.
Well, and seriously,
I'm still talking, but who cares?
I'm gonna go back to the idea of something Clayton had brought up.
By the way, we're gonna do sports with Buddy Early after the top of the next hour, so we're gonna continue on as we are right now. Go ahead, Mark.
We had talked about you wanting to pay for everyone's teeth. And
if I had open money,
Jesus Christ! And we talked about.
Let's go back.
That goddamn Bobby Christina.
If I had Oprah money, one of the things I would like to do was I would like to make sure that everybody.
It's one of my favorite things.
Who needed assistance, I would do that. That's what would be my.
Oh, I love that Make a Smile program that they.
Yeah. Oh, they already have one.
No, it's different.
It's where they go around and they fix cleft palates.
That's Sarah McLachlan on those.
Oh, and of course, seriously, I have this joke always written down. Yeah. And if something tragic happens, Sarah McLachlan has got, or whatever her name is, she's got the song ready.
Yes. No, but
those poor puppies.
That all of a sudden, Bobby Christina was up there, and I didn't realize that the gap went from China all the way to Hawaii. I mean, it's ginormous.
She's old now, right? Old.
She's like 18.
She's old.
She's pushing 20.
She's not old enough to gamble in Vegas, which apparently she was doing. But
and she's fair game now, because now they're making a reality show, which you guys talked about last week. Like, now they're going to have a reality show, and I mean, and not a question of class. It's really about talent and all that kind of stuff. And Whitney, God bless her,
Still dead.
You just,
still
yeah, dead. But she, we now we have the finger on the pulse of Donna Summer, too.
I didn't think you would go there. I did not think you would go
wait,
there.
Wait.
And but George Jones is ailing. That's a, for me, that's kind
well,
of...
Well, hasn't he been... what? No, wait
George
a minute.
George Jones?
He's been ailing for... Let it be known, Buddy Early has a sandwich in the house. Let's
nicely done.
What is it? A PB&J?
Of course it is.
It's a PB.
I love it.
I'm going to start bringing PB&J.
Well, I thought I had one, but okay. So my last thing on this topic that I can I have to do one important thing with this.
Yes.
Just because I'm here, whatever. But it was very important for me because when I woke up that day and it was the first day of a run of shifts and I really thought to myself, I have to put this in perspective. Like I want to lose my mind and I want to go all like. You know, crazy person at a funeral throwing myself at the casket. Like, I really wanted to go over the top with it.
But I really thought
to myself, I've got to put this in perspective. Like, I'm not going to be a fun person for the next couple days, but I'm not going to call in sick to work. I'm not going to, like, we have to put some perspective on this. Sure. I've lost both my parents. I've lost my grandparents. I'm down all my aunts and uncles except for one. Like, very much I understand, like, the priority of this is just of someone that I admired.
Right.
Not a real person, but I couldn't listen to music. Like anytime like music would start, I just couldn't listen to it. And the woman that runs the webpage found something from a concert from Tokyo, which the first concert I saw in Vegas was part of that tour. And someone in Donna's family had died, and so her and her two sisters that she used to sing with sang "Celebrate Me Home."
Yes, we found that last night.
And so I was just fast-forwarding through the thing, and I just couldn't listen. I just couldn't watch it. I couldn't listen to it. She was very happy. She was in great voice. It was a beautiful concert. And I saw at the bottom, like, the treasures that were on there. People were commenting. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're getting this song and this song and this song. And then they said, "Celebrate Me Home." And I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I just got to see what she – because I don't know if you know that song. It's an old – Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins is how I know it. "Celebrate Me Home." And a lot of songs. She was very good at that. Is it a love song? Is it a Jesus song? You were never sure. And her and her two sisters at 21:15 on the video just come together and do "Celebrate Me Home," full gospel, full harmony, very like acoustic, like very not disco, like the Donna that I love that not a lot of people are aware of. And I watched that about five times, cried my eyes out, had my own personal thing, and at the end she says, "Take me, Jesus," and I was like, you know what, she believed.
She did.
So she might think she's in a better place, and I don't have to believe it, but she believed it and her family did, so hopefully there's comfort there. And it just kind of helped me like put it in perspective, like everybody deals with death in their own way, and in a certain way I felt like I knew how she dealt with how her family was dealing with it and coping with it. And I thought, well, they probably are going to say she's in a better place, so who am I to be any other way? And then just enjoy the voice and, you know.
Absolutely.
I find myself crying all the time. And I had a little dream about her last night in a restaurant talking to me.
Didn't I?
Of course you did.
I don't know if you saw it, Al, but I posted a song that somebody said, I found on Facebook today. Somebody had worked with her in 2001, and there was a song that he had produced or done with her that I guess had never been released. And I posted it on your Facebook today. And it starts with an A. Ariello?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I posted it late this afternoon on yours. So apparently somebody, it's a friend of a friend who I guess is a music producer, and he worked with her. And just this track that he always had, and he never released it.
I made a friend in New York, and I have the thing at home. And he got her, she did a dance version of some of their biggest hits.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of different people contributed, and she did "Someday," which is kind of from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which if you listen to it carefully, kind of sounds like a gay anthem, or now it could be like the 99%. It could be the Occupy Wall Street anthem about like no more greed and we'll all love one another. And he had, because he was contracted to do one of the remixes but didn't get she didn't use his, he had her raw vocal of this song, and it's just her in a microphone. And you just hear the power of her voice. And she was known for doing songs in two takes because she wanted to go shopping. She was she was not going to overthink it. If she couldn't get it in two takes, then there was something wrong with you or your system. And call her when you had it right.
I love that.
So he had it, and he said that he watched her sing it and was just like, what the fuck? Like, this was, she just belted it into a microphone and was like, can I go? Because I'm done. That's all you're getting.
And that's perfection.
It's another little treat that I have. And I have studio sessions of Enough is Enough, of her and Barbara doing...
Oh, it's fantastic.
Doing outtakes and swearing and like... But they recorded that in one day, too. So it's like a three-hour session.
That's a good story, too, the Enough is Enough thing. When
they wrote it and recorded it before lawyers could get near them and interfere with the process.
Well, that and the fact that it was Barbara Streisand's son. Barbara didn't want to do it.
Oh, but the little gay son was all for it. Little Jason was gay and completely obsessed with Donna Summer and said, like, I don't know who you are, Mom, but the lady in the living room is famous, so you better get out there and record this fucking song.
I didn't know that.
Because of everyone's unimpressed with their parents and what they do. So he was like, Barbara, shmarba, but Donna Summer's out there, so get your ass walking.
Yeah. Mama, can you hear me? Because I'm telling you to sing that song.
So she really did do because of her, and, you know, ended up being a gay icon, Jason Gold.
Jason Gold.
All right, I wasted way too much time, sorry.
Lord. Well, we'll be back with the show with Al Perkins in just a few moments. Sports with Buddy coming up after the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a moment on Q-Talk, Arizona.
Just think of how bad.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk, Arizona. You're listening to Q-Talk, Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, once again, it's 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday night. Thank you for being here. We are The Show with me, Clayton McKee and company. We've spent the first hour talking about Al Perkins' life and everything to do with Donna with Donna Summer.
We talked about Donna Summer's life via me.
Via Al Perkins. There's a lot more going on. We have a lot of other things to talk about, even though at some point we'll probably talk about Donna again.
Did Donna Summer die?
Yeah. Oddly, yes.
Was that what that? I must have missed it.
Still too soon.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. According to numerous Facebook posts, Donna Summers died.
Drives me crazy, too.
Yes.
I went through everybody's Facebook pages, and I put no S.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Suzanne Summers and Donna Summer. And you should know that from your time on Three's Company.
And it's way too soon to fuck that up.
Oh, for the love of God. Well, I think we should probably get into a little sports with Buddy Early. So let's kick off this segment and hope that this works somehow like I've imagined it in all of my own dreams.
Well, of course it will, Clayton. We have a diverse lineup of sports stories. The Coyotes have their backs against the wall. Read into that what you will. ASU softball continues defense of its national title. Jonathan Vilma continues to spread goodwill towards all. And same-sex marriage further fuels the Mayweather-Pacquiao feud. Those are the sports headlines.
Nicely done.
So, Coyotes are playing as we speak after blanking the Los Angeles Kings 2-0 on Sunday.
That's funny.
Stop, that's what they call it.
Yeah. After Sunday, the Coyotes remain alive in the best-of-seven Western Conference title series. But what has proved to be the best season in the history of the Phoenix Club could come to an end tonight. Down 3-1 to the Cinderella Kings, the Coyotes will try to keep the dream alive tonight in Glendale.
They aren't really called the Cinderella Kings, are they?
No. Cinderella is a descriptive term meaning the Kings were the eighth seed in the West.
It's a Cinderella story.
To make the playoffs.
Can I get a drink?
The Kings.
Hand that to her.
The Kings are 7-0 on the road in the playoffs this season. If the Coyotes come out with a win tonight, the series returns to La La Land on Thursday, and then, perhaps, back to Phoenix Saturday for a Game 7. And I have breaking news.
Dun-dun-dun!
Oh, that's a technical error. You need a drink.
No, well, if we don't have so few technical errors anymore. But if you don't... What? Enough ice? If you don't come to the rehearsal, how the hell do I know it?
There's a rehearsal?
Oh, well, yeah.
When was that?
It's on Mondays.
Oh, it's on his bike when he's over here. He rehearses with the homeless people along the canal.
An important update. The Coyotes and the Kings at the second intermission are tied.
Nice.
That's what it's... Al doesn't know...
I just think you're making everything gay. I'm like, wow, you are really gaying up the sport.
I mean, Cinderella was in the first story.
Somebody got in there first.
I'm trying to get out the score update, Marnie, and I just can't. Nice.
Well, is it all tied up at the second intermission?
It's tied up 3-3 in the second intermission.
Well, you might want to just make it good. I've got 1 hour to go.
Just make it good.
By the end of the show tonight, I'll have an update on how that turns out, and hopefully the Coyotes will stay alive. And
I hope so. I love it. I love that they're doing it.
Yeah, and it would be great if they came back here for a Game 7, not just for the team and the city, but I mean the city of Glendale and Westgate would reap the benefits of that. Our second story, ASU softball continues defense of its national title. ASU defeated Syracuse, Long Beach State, and LIU Brooklyn, that powerhouse of softball, in the Tempe Regional over the weekend at Farrington Stadium in Tempe. And they've advanced to the next round of the postseason, which is called the Super Regionals.
The postseason.
Super!
I saw this on Glee. That's
very
fantastic.
This is a very gay sports update, Al. The third seeded Sun Devils will host number 14 seed Louisiana Lafayette in the best of three Super Regional later this week, with the winner advancing to the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. The Sun Devils are one of five Pac-12 schools remaining in the tournament. I also almost said Pac-10.
Oh, it's Pac-12 now?
Yeah.
They picked up two more?
They picked up Utah and Colorado.
Which is stupid.
They joined top-ranked California along with Oregon, Washington, and that little school down south, U of A. And I have actually become, the last few seasons, I'm going to admit, I am not a fan of women's sports necessarily, but I've become a fan of women's college softball. Because at first I'm like, this sucks. But over time, watching the Women's College World Series over the last few years, and watching ASU, you know, win the championship two times in the last 5 years, I've become a fan of it. And so it's really exciting to me, and I'm actually trying to take my niece to a game. One of the games in the Super Regionals this weekend. So go Sun Devils.
So yeah, I have a question, because I was forced to watch gay softball once.
Yeah.
And they're cute. They're cute boys, and they're outdoorsy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could camp at any minute. You never know.
Ew.
But they do it like they're like telethon ready.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Sir or ma'am.
But they bring like the pitcher's mound in, and they bring it all closer. Is that all softball?
Softball is a lot different with the dimensions and the proportions, which makes the game so much different. But what you have in women's
women and
competitive
so
softball
closer?
Is you have that like fast wind-up pitch.
Oh, fast, yeah, fast
and,
softball.
And it's funny because then you have the running hit. You know, like you see baseball, there are guys standing there in the batter's box, and they'll swing at them. In softball, they run,
different. By the way, I used to do that. That's as far as being a left-handed person, it's called a drag bunt. Or a punch hit.
So you were in drag when you did this? This has so many levels.
Are you in drag now?
Not right now. But
I've used more mascara.
But no, the drag bunt
put a little more
mascara
on.
But are we going to get sued?
I encourage people to check out the women's college softball because
that shorter infield, is that how we'd like to say it? It's a shorter infield.
The entire field is smaller.
Is shorter.
So
okay.
All the dimensions.
Because
are
it makes the gay players look like they're doing some kind of a special event.
I'm hearing voices in my head.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Keep going. Where's my goddamn drink?
Technical error.
Buddy, can I interrupt you for a minute?
I asked him to pass.
Give me it's like passing the baton on the Olympics.
Sorry. Hey, buddy, can I tell you a secret? I don't know if you heard, but last week I tried to fill in for you.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, all I talked about was the Vikings.
I'm sure. I was going to say,
it was a top story. We were waiting on the news.
That's
I cannot do a sports update without a fucking Vikings update.
And here it comes?
Which I don't have tonight, actually.
Oh.
I'll come up with something.
We signed four of them. I can come up
there is an NFL story that I want to get out. New Orleans Saints linebacker Jonathan Vilma has been at the center of the NFL's bounty scandal, currently appealing a one-year suspension levied against him by Commissioner Roger Goodell. Now Vilma has lashed out against the gay sports website OutSports. Recently, Vilma tweeted a couple items that were perceived to be homophobic messages. And when the team at OutSports, Sid Ziegler and Jim Buzinski, they sort of questioned him about it via Twitter, said, hey, can you clarify this? He banned them from his feed. So that's
controversy. It's our first number fun.
You might be aware that Vilma is personally suing Roger Goodell, alleging defamation with regard to the bounty suspension.
Monsters are
even though witnesses saw him offer $10,000 to anyone who could knock Brett Favre out of a game. Now, OutSports co-founder Sid Ziegler wrote this about the ban from Twitter. Typical of a guy like Vilma, he marches around questioning other people's manhood, but when the heat gets turned up, he shuts people out and lashes out. Or maybe he just doesn't want to interact with a bunch of fags. Either way, he can dish it out, but he just can't take it.
There's another sports figure in the news this week, and the name escapes me, but he's... I almost say once a tie-in with that the cage fighting thing you were talking about recently. The guy that was in some kind of a brouhaha about making the anti-gay remarks that went full tilt.
Mm.
Like, now he's gone completely the other way, and he's all for gay marriage and...
Oh, well, I don't know what you're talking... But if you're talking about UFC president Dana White, that's kind of an ongoing...
No, this was someone... And
okay,
I,
well, maybe it's my next story.
Okay.
Maybe? Is it going to get in the way of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? All I hear is...
I can't believe you didn't take the Donna Summertime to eat like a whole fucking meal. I gave you 22 minutes.
Well, 37.
Anyway, who's doing that? Here's my final story of the day. The long-awaited...
Oh, this is it? Really? That's sort of a sports segment?
Well, I knew I had time
I have
fill.
Viking stuff go that ahead. I can
we'll get to the Viking.
And I'm the rude one.
The long-awaited Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao bout may never happen, but that doesn't keep the two from tossing barbs to one another from across the ocean. Last week, Pacquiao criticized President Obama's support for same-sex marriage. And just a few days later, Mayweather chimed in, apparently showing himself as the more enlightened of the two boxers. Mayweather tweeted, "I stand behind President Obama and support gay marriage.
This is the story.
I'm an American citizen, and I believe people should live their life the way they want." It seems that Mayweather, like Obama, has been evolving with regard to his views on gay equality. In the past, the boxer has made some ill-advised and some would say homophobic remarks. So that might be what they're referring to.
That was the point counterpoint to that was the one guy was saying something and his opponent came out and was like,
mm-hmm.
And it forced the other one into the corner of you have to be an outright bigot.
Exactly.
And that's the goal.
I want to give Mayweather the benefit of the doubt. You know, he has had his – he's not the most intelligent person. As most boxers are not. I'm just going to throw that out there, despite Manny Pacquiao being in the Senate in the Philippines. But,
wow.
You know, he's been Mayweather's been criticized, you know, over time for making some remarks, like I said, that were perceived to be homophobic. He's used poor language, poor judgment. But I think Mayweather tweeting this is a direct result of exactly what we thought Obama's stance was going to do, which was get people to think about how they really feel.
Right, right.
Someone like Mayweather, who carelessly tosses around the word fag and, you know, makes jokes about gay people probably in private, I'm assuming. You know, when Obama came out in support of gay marriage, Mayweather thought, well, you know what, how do I feel? I think that's a cool thing. And so, you know, it's much like friends that we may all have who are straight, who may make gay jokes and may you know, slip out with the word fag and then look to see if, you know, if you're there, Al, you know.
Yeah.
We all have those friends. But how do they really feel, you know, when they get right down to it? So I applaud Mayweather, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Well, you brought me to 3 points, if you can imagine.
Was it involve Donna Summer?
No. Well, the
did she like sports?
Did
do we know?
Did she sing a national anthem anywhere?
Yes, she did sing God Bless America at the World Series one year.
See, I knew it.
She was smart enough to stay away from the national anthem. No, so we are always talking about how these people like in North Carolina or Romney or Santorum, and if you stand in front of your church or your political group and you say negative things about gays or you say that they're not worthy, that gives people it gives them the freedom to bully, I think. I think that opens up the door to say, well, this guy says they're not really equal, so who cares if we treat them like shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Where we have to give the credit then to when Obama stands up and says, I'm for equality, that gives people that same thought of like, okay, wait, somebody just made us equal.
Right.
So maybe we shouldn't talk smack about, you know, and I think it says something like I love Clinton and like my practically masturbate to the Clinton family. I enjoy them so much.
Oddly, they have done that in the past too, but on a whole different.
I'm sure they
a whole different.
I'm sure
thing,
they yeah. masturbate yeah. to me too.
May have been in the Oval Office.
But
probably.
One of the first things, and I always talk about that '92 election and like the age that I was and becoming aware of politically what I wanted to do in Clinton's speech after the silence on HIV and AIDS and gay rights and all that stuff of the past two fucker presidents. In Clinton's inauguration, he mentioned AIDS, HIV, gays, equal rights. Like, and I'm like, okay, now somebody's actually not just saying the words, but like putting the presidency behind equal rights. It makes a difference. It makes such a huge difference to be that person. And I think we have to give credit to that. And that's going to lift the ships. Like, that's that rising tide lifts all ships.
We've got to give – I'm going to give some credit to Floyd Mayweather. No, he is not a champion of gay equality. But as much as we don't want to admit it, him tweeting this is going to make a difference for a lot of people, whether it's people who, you know, maybe were homophobic and now they're like, oh, Floyd Mayweather says gay marriage is cool. Or – for that closeted kid who
is a fan
of Floyd Mayweather.
It makes a big difference. The positive makes a bigger, I think, a bigger impact.
One of the things I was going to talk about later, if we have a chance, was, this is not sports related, was Marvel the comics.
I've got them in my
okay.
We'll
talk about that. I have that down.
Okay, we'll get to that later.
And I liked the teaser. I'm just going to go into it. I loved the teaser.
Format. What the fuck is that?
No, I loved the teaser for that because they sent it out yesterday that they were going to out somebody. But I still, on this story, because I think this is a really important story.
Manny Pacquiao? That's who you're talking
about.
Pacquiao.
With the taunts and with the use of fags and stuff like that, like, I think there's a time where we're too sensitive. And I'm not a competitive person, but there's a lot of different things that I like to play tennis. I like to play pool. I like to bowl. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Karaoke is also on your list of competitive things, I think.
Right. I make
competitive
but
karaoke.
I'm not competitive until someone else is. Yeah. And then I just like to mock them for being competitive to me. So anytime I like, and I'm good at a couple different things. Sure. So I like to throw it like, oh, you're losing to a fag.
Yeah,
like right. I
don't think anybody can outstalk. Like, I mean, you can stalk
you
people
stalk
pretty
with
good.
Oh, if they make stalking a competitive sport, let me just tell you,
petition it for the 2020.
There will be a tear falling from my eye while I listen to our nation's anthem on the podium. Fuck you! I got that shit down. But I really like that as a reverse taunt to tell people you're losing to a fag.
Yeah, I can. I'm going to win this battle, you son of a bitch. I got that one.
No, but I think we're too sensitive to that taunt. I think it's in the military. I know they're trying to stop it for the military, but you know what? Like, sissy, what are we going to be? Like, is that anti-girl? No.
Right.
Yeah, but
it's
come on, everything.
Now we're being, get it off vibrate, for the love of God. Make a choice.
You've never heard that before, have you?
I can't have it on. I can't have it on vibrate.
It's either vibrate or it's
on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring foam pads for everybody's phone. Just lay on these desks.
Well, here. Do you want one of my 9 InTouch magazines?
wait. I'll keep it right.
Just put it between your legs and ride the storm out.
Well.
There you have it.
Okay.
Keep calling.
I think I got the phones working. We're going to find out in just a few minutes. I think we're going to potentially.
But I always enjoy your stories. I got to interrupt you again. I really... No, because they're great conversation pieces. You do great work on that.
Thank you.
I just talk about what happened in my living room. You actually do research.
And we are celebrating 25 years of Jell-O.
25 years of
Jell-O? Well, just the Jell-O... No, Jell-O's been around longer than that. Oh, that's just the Jell-O wrestling, apparently, for Tucson.
I have no idea. But it has to be, because I threw up Jell-O way before 25 years ago. Tonight is the 20th anniversary of the last Carson show.
It is. You're right. I saw Bette Midler tweeted that, actually. I saw
that.
Yeah,
Bette Midler. But I always want to know, is it the good episode with her or the last night with him that was so maudlin?
I don't remember that. We'll talk about that and other exciting things moments from now right here on Q-Talk, Arizona.
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Love it.
Here we are. It's 8:18. This starts our at-home portion of the drinking game. What we do is we pick a word or phrase, and if it's ever uttered in the last 45 minutes or so of the show, then we encourage you to sip on whatever beverage
Doesn't
of choice.
Doesn't it have to be Donna Summer?
I would think it would have to be Donna Disco or Summer.
Or Donna Summer. Reference.
Donna, yeah.
If it's Heaven Knows, we talk about a radio, we talk about... I'll go with you or whatever. Anything.
Let's see whatever you guys talk about. How I can make it back to me in my basement and Donna Summer and drink.
Wouldn't that be weird? That won't take much.
No, not at all.
We're gonna be
not
hammered.
I spent. It was winter in Niagara Falls. I spent a lot of time in that basement.
There was some other story you wanted to bring up just a minute ago.
But well, it, was it either Marvel or DC Comics?
That's both of them actually have done it.
They've so there's two.
What the fuck did I do with my coffee?
It's Marvel. I heard the one that has
North Star.
Star is going to be gay, but not just gay. He's going to propose.
Is gay. Came out in 1992.
But he's going to propose to his partner. Well,
whichever the one has Superman and Batman. Which one's that?
Right. That's
that's the one they're teasing.
DC Comp. Right. They're teasing, and they haven't said yet. And they're thinking Robin is going to be gay or Wonder Woman. Which I like the Wonder Woman angle because
that would make sense.
Because the lesbian, I think, is always easier to sell.
During this week's Kapow Comic Convention.
Jesus Christ.
They call it Kapow. I don't know why.
Onomatopoeia.
The DC DC Comics co-publisher Dan Didio announced that the publisher plans to bring out of the closet a character who has previously been established as straight with the hopes of making said character, quote, one of our most prominent gay characters, saying that a LGBT character in the DC canon are still fairly few and far between. Now, when I was reading through other stories about this, again, both DC Comics and Marvel both have come out with these. Apparently, there are some characters, I believe, in the Marvel comics that go back into the 90s, like in 92, there was a
But were they listening to
character.
Donna Summer?
No. Drink on that. Got it. There's a
I'm going to work at this to get you all drunk at home.
Did we tell our home?
Yes, okay, we did.
Any Donna
that conversation
Summer reference.
Was out loud, sweetie, not in your head.
Okay, good.
Any Donna Summer reference. But apparently in 1992... Marvel Comics had a character that was gay there. Then 10 years later in 02, another gay character, Apollo, in The Midnighter were married, actually in the pages of The Authority, which was the name of a book. One of them was a Canadian character.
Canadian and gay, you can't tell the difference.
It's not like it's new, it's just now that it's current.
But
again.
Now the word is that it's going to be a superhero that everybody knows.
Right. They're not going to go obscure, that's why I was saying like...
Right, it's an established character.
They were saying like Robin or one like they were going to go big, and I was thinking Wonder Woman.
Go big or go home.
Well, I was thinking Wonder Woman because there isn't a movie franchise yet, so they're not peeing on a potential moneymaker. Yeah. They don't have to do anything. The Wonder Woman thing keeps running into problems, and Robin makes sense too because they when you put Robin into a movie, it just makes it gay.
Right.
But I loved it that they referenced the ambiguously gay duo. And if you sit over there and tell me you've never heard of the ambiguously gay duo.
I know. I talked about it last week, in fact.
Well, the last Saturday Night Live thing you said you never heard of, an ambiguously gay duo, is SNL. Well,
the reason I...
Because I'm a Mo. Why wouldn't I have seen that?
That's why I'm just asking. Okay. I can never tell where your pop reference is outside of
sell your argument
drink,
to somebody else.
Drink.
Was that a dog?
Hello.
Jesus Christ.
I just said her name
some
time.
Anyway, the point of that matter was that apparently sometime in history, they did have some gay characters. This is the first time, however, they're going to have him come out and actually be a gay with a wedding.
Right.
But the funny thing is, like, DC Comics came out with it, and then Marvel had to, because, like, one of them trumped the other. One was yesterday,
well,
one was
it's
today.
Like Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
Right,
is this like the Republicans and the Democrats?
Well, I think Marvel did their political statement. I think Marvel did their political statement, and then DC upped them with, like, we're going to take a big name.
Well, the reason I brought this up in the last segment was because it was regarding, you know, kind of the conversation we were having. I heard this story on another radio show.
On the radio!
Ago.
Donna Summer reference! Donna Summer reference! Ha!
So I heard some...
Leo Hurst, 8-4
I heard a couple of guys on the radio talking about it, and it was hot stuff.
She was working hard for the money.
Okay, we can't say it this much. I'm going to cry.
What?
I'm a very frail woman.
Well, that's true to you.
What got me a little bit riled up while listening to these guys talk about it on the radio is, you know, and these are guys
you
who
know
are,
what I say, enough is enough.
These are guys who are, you know, pretty gay friendly.
Yeah.
And their point after talking about the story was, why does anybody have to be gay in the comics? And you know, they were trying to be like, we don't care. But what they don't understand is that it is a big deal.
To a gay kid.
A gay kid.
Right, oh, absolutely.
But maybe even a gay adult. Who,
but
you
just
know,
think how much more fun the stories
let's
can be.
Much more fashionable.
Let's just follow the life of a comic book reader to their lonely place.
They're gay and alone in a basement. Not listening to Donna Summer.
Right, not with a disco light and lava lamp and all their glory. But honestly, it's another place where if you just have someone say it's okay somewhere, and this is probably exactly the argument on conservative radio if they have a show.
you may have heard of them.
But this is probably the argument against that it makes it seem okay, and I don't know how to tell you this, but we're gay whether you want us to be or not. Yeah. So you can either help us open the door, or we can kick it in and kick your face in while we're doing it. But we're coming out. So.
Yeah, every you know, marginal.
Are you being violent?
No, but it's coming down to that. It's coming down to that. It's Harvey Milk Day.
Right.
Absolutely. I have
so,
that down.
And I have this for this, because no one, I have been begging people to watch that goddamn Times of Harvey Milk movie for so many years,
you
and
have.
I will not watch any movie with you until you watch the Times of Harvey Milk.
You haven't seen it, Marty?
If you haven't seen it, I'm so pissed off. This is the best movie because
it really is.
And everybody went and saw the movie Milk, and all they did in the movie Milk was take footage from the Times of Harvey Milk and put it in there and make Sean Penn play Milk. It just pisses
me
off.
In fairness, I didn't know
there's
no
such thing as in fairness, because I've been bitching about this movie since 1986.
I'm telling you right now, neither he nor I knew
of the documentary, and then we saw the movie, and we cried in the movie, and then obviously you gave me the
how do you not know about the documentary?
I would love to tell you, but I claim all kinds of ignorance, and I apologize.
Okay, so I will to the listeners,
because Milk is expensive,
right?
It's like $2.99.
It leads to like 30. Well, not as expensive as a condom, clearly.
Thirty children.
But I do have to tell you, there's a point in the Times of Harvey Milk, and this the guy that says it in the movie, he's a little gay school teacher, and now he's on the San Francisco board, and there's a and we
Isn't
have
that
to
Tom Amiano.
It's vaguely Asian. Yes, I think so. No. Yes. It is him. It is him. So I think I'm mixing up two characters.
They are similar.
Okay.
Very similar. Oh my god, I have so many points to make right now. My head's about to fucking explode. But there's a point where he's standing there, and there's black people near him, which is going to be point number two, and they're watching the candlelight vigil go by.
Right.
After it's not after the assassination, it's after the verdict, after the Twinkie defense works.
Right.
And as they're walking by, and he's weeping as he's telling the story, and you don't have to watch a fucking movie, you can watch the actual person who said it. That's what pisses me off when people don't watch documentaries. You can actually see the person that said it. And the black people are shouting at him, "Where is your anger? Why aren't you pissed off?" And he starts shaking and crying because he's never been a violent person. And he's like, they're like, "You, where is your anger? You should be mad. Don't hold a candle. Burn something the fuck down." And it turned, and I'm not blaming any particular community because that's how that just came out, because every time everything I say is racist on the readback. But it really is. Where is your fight back? Like, we can't take these assaults from these fucking preachers in North Carolina. You have to be angry, and you have to speak out and say something. It's so important. And when someone says you're overreacting, you're ruining the conversation, fuck you. But where is your anger, like, at these things?
Aubrey, and the I was going to say that.
But because we hit on it, and I have to say, the one thing we have to get in the gay community, and Obama and the boxer you were talking about, whose name
Mayweather.
Mayweather.
I always make it Mayweather. I had to get him to say it.
Yeah.
Is that we need to get the African American, I like to call them black people. I don't know what the politically correct term is these days.
Correctness, anyway.
We need to get them on our team and realize we're all fighting for equal rights.
Right.
So I know they get very pissed off. I know that the African American black community gets very pissed off when gays try to make it a parallel struggle. And there are some big differences, but at the end of the day, it's about equality. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that we get them on our team. And this Obama thing, which was I voted for Hillary because of I don't trust black churches. I honestly don't.
Okay.
They're part of a religious group that I think discriminates against us and preaches from the pulpit. They should be taxed. But this whole thing just plays together as we get these people tweeting and saying things. That's going to make these people in these churches listen and say, hey, maybe we should be for equality too. Maybe there is a parallel there.
And I'm going to throw out
that so there, I'm done,
not, and I appreciate that, and I respect it. I would also say not all black churches.
Most.
Many.
It's the other thing, because besides Mormons in California, we lost that Prop 8 thing to black churches.
Right. And so I'm not trying to be argumentative. I just think that when we generalize, sometimes it can become scary.
But this is to your point that you started with about the why are we holding candles and not fucking pissed off. After Prop 8 came down, I was, you know, downtown Phoenix, where every city in the country is having a rally.
And none of those fuckers voted, too, I'll say that.
One of our esteemed legislators, Ken Chevron, got up and said something that a lot of people didn't like. He said, we need to hold the black churches in California accountable because they were. Every other motherfucker, including people who have shows on this Q Talk, got up there and apologized for Ken Chevron.
No,
it's, and I was like, "Are you kidding? He's absolutely right. We can't turn a blind eye. We may not like saying it, but." We don't want to make ruffles. We don't want to make any waves.
And we're not saying we're against them. We're saying we have to realize we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. That's the point to that is we have to get on the same team. And we've so lost Clayton's idea of a light show, but
yeah. Absolutely. So I'd like to take you all off there for just a second. I'd like to comment on a couple things. We've got like sponsorship for the show, and we're going to get back to a lighter topic in just a few moments. Hopefully, something like Donna Summer or Gerbils or something. Gay Wine Weekend 2012. Apparently, I'm just the goddamn sponsor reader of this show because I have I don't want to. No, fuck that. Because you'll make it a political agenda, and we can't have that. We're proud to announce that the dates of the Gay Wine Weekend 2012 in California Wine Country, featuring a Twilight Tea Dance in celebration of Gay Pride Month, benefiting Face to Face and the Sonoma County AIDS Network, is June 15th and 16th and 17th. That's in June, oddly, and it's great that they had it there. If you would like some more information about the Gay Wine Weekend, you can catch them at outinthevineyard.com. Also, In Touch Magazine covering all of Arizona, and we will be in a little more than a few weeks. We'll be up in Flagstaff at Flagstaff Pride, and In Touch Magazine will be there along with us. They are the only LGBT community magazine and the only one that is part of the Associated Press. Each issue consists, and Al is holding it up just like Vanna White right here in the studio, each issue consists of colorful pages of information, education, and what's happening in your community. Catch it at your local, grab a copy at your local hangout or Buddy Early's apartment, whichever you would like.
How local are we?
Also, for a great time in getting your pictures done, if you'd like to have a great time, which we did a few months back, contact Nemec Photography. They are ready for anything from headshots to family portraits, engagements, and weddings. They're really looking forward to getting into the gay wedding genre. Hire them because you can. Also, with each shoot, you always get all of your own digital files. You can catch them at NemecPhotos.com. That's NemecPhotos.com. Or call them at 602-909-7805.
What's this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Lord have mercy. Here we are back, and what's on our agenda for other light topics?
I have a headline that I've been dying to read.
Oh my God, please, as long as it's not political, Al, throw it at me.
Oh no. Well, first, I'm not dead, which is the main headline, because if you listened to last week's show as I did, I was referenced, there was a beautiful tribute to me, like I was dead for about 2 hours.
You just weren't here.
It was a 2-hour segment of, well, Al says.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, what doesn't Al say except for I'll carry
well,
that?
Well, at least you weren't in a coma, like, you weren't asleep in your car drunk like Carlton.
Right.
Because
we
lambasted him all last week.
But he's still on hold.
No, he's not on hold at all. In fact, he won't answer a goddamn text again this week to call him.
Well, I'll try him next. And now, the other thing I want to bring up is, and I think we should have had something to do with this, and maybe they're not aware of our show that has over 250 listeners.
No, downloads.
Shut up. We're going with 250 listeners.
They listen to it.
I know that, but I mean, that was the download number. We have other listeners.
What do they call it? Delay watching when they count the DVR watchers?
Yeah.
Okay, so this, the publicly funded, the whole, and I'm a big fan of NASA because I think all good things stem from NASA. So I was kind of pissed off about ending the space program, but it's back.
Oh, space
the privately funded uh-huh. back.
Right.
Okay, are you ready for what they had written across the side of this motherfucker?
What?
Mission accomplished?
Space X. Oh, no, they weren't going to jump. Sorry. Okay, we're off political topics.
Oh,
so I'm looking right at you, Tom. I'm going to walk right by that motherfucker.
Oh.
Well, that's how George Bush ends wars. He just dresses up for it. I'm going to put on this dress and stand on a ship. Nobody dies after that.
This is another show where I get emails about, why don't you talk more? Because I can't shut him up.
I know. But I got 2 hours that I wasn't part of. Space.
I knew he'd have to try to make it up.
And I can talk fast,
and we're and we're debating about making this a 3-hour show, so just get ready for that.
And I can't wait to win that
put
argument.
Put into Al, it's no debate.
Okay, come on. SpaceX.
Yes.
That's what it said. And right. We tried to watch it at work the other night. We tried to watch the live launch. We all took our break together to watch the live launch. Because I'm such a nerd when it comes to, like, spacey kind of stuff. SpaceX, like there was, like, if it's
you
a private, have a competition,
come up with
a dollar a thing, call it the big giant white thing flying at your hole. I mean, there's gotta be, there
that's
has
not
got
what the guy
to be,
with 30 kids said. No.
There's gotta be something better than SpaceX. And now,
I think X is short for exploration.
And I swear to God, people have a bug in my head and they listen to what I say and they report it later on the news. Everybody has been making up new names for it all day today because it was successful. It was called 18 different things. And I went, fuck you. I saw this thing. It was long, skinny, and white. So I've seen it in my home.
Oh.
I have a question. Does it play the piano or tap dance?
Oh, because that's the only way you can get down.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only way to get into my house.
And I'm just glad you saw something in your home that was long, skinny, and white.
Oh. Woo! Yeah. Anyways,
Jesus Christ.
So now they're trying. I mean, I can't even list for you the number of things, like, because it successfully launched at like 1 o'clock in the morning our time today. They tried to call it every other thing. I'm like, that thing pretty much said Kirkland by Costco. You know what I mean? It was so goddamn generic. And now today they're calling it like the hovercraft. Like, no, that is not what you paint on the side.
Around.
So I just want someone to call me the next time you got to name a white skinny thing to go up in space. Let me help you. And when the brown one goes up, Clayton's going to name it. How's that for lighter topics? You happy now,
there
bitch?
You go. So sadly,
the ride home's going to be fun.
So sadly,
sad. Oh, there's sad news now.
Great.
So sad.
Oh, is Donna Summer dead again? Can she die twice the same fucking week?
Have a cocktail.
Have a beverage. Cheers. Did she have any sad songs?
Because
sad songs say so much.
That's when Elton dies.
When Elton dies, we're going to have a headache,
that's
too.
That's going to be a long... We're going to need 3 hours. So let's just say when one of the big icons dies, we just get the third hour. Call Joe.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
I know. I'm seriously thinking that we're going to go 7 to 10.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
It was canceled, and
it
trust me...
It was canceled after 8 seasons. I thought of you immediately.
And no one in this room was affected.
Just when I was about to start...
I actually DVR it.
This motherfucker has not seen The Times of Harvey Milk, but Dog
I
the
did
goddamn...
I did, too. I watched it at your house.
You've not seen the... Did you watch it at my house?
We sat on your... Okay, really? How drunk were you? Because I sat on your couch with you, and we watched it onto your TV. You own the DVD.
Oh, I rented it.
I watched it.
Oh, I rescued someone. No, I didn't. I didn't buy it. It was. No.
Owned it, or you had it, and I watched it at your
house.
Well,
I take back anything mean I've thought about you for the last 36 minutes.
But
and
no,
according to the atomic clock, 15 seconds.
And now it all goes to me, all that anger.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, but you're right. They, after 8 seasons, A&E decided not to renew Doug the Bounty Hunter for a 9th season. But, and it's odd, and everybody, in anything I would ever watch... For some reason, I like that show. I don't know why.
When I found out,
I don't know why.
Fucking astounded.
I just love. I enjoy it.
What? Yeah, so
I enjoy
when
that
I
show.
Saw that,
I've never heard of him until as part of the Waikiki tour.
Honolulu.
I think he's in Honolulu, not Waikiki. As they take you around the Honolulu tour. And to get political for a second, they mentioned Obama all the time, and there was all these people on the bus that were like, stop talking about Obama. They're like, sir, he's from here. We're very proud. Shut the fuck up.
Right. Thank
they,
you.
They went after everybody because it was a World War II tour. So anyways, we saw his office, and they were like, and I'm like, who the fuck is Dog the Bounty Hunter? So I Googled him later with your laptop in my hotel, and I said, well, who cares?
And did you see his wife?
And all the empty drink bottles are coming to me.
I actually...
No, I haven't gone across.
Are you trying to make hands across
to
Poland to my...
No, I can't get to the goddamn garbage can.
Buddy, next to you.
I actually did not know the show was still on, so I... But I've already made my peace with it.
Are you okay?
Okay. But on reality, I have something from reality, and I can't remember. I can't remember the details. I honestly can't. I had to Google what this meant, because I wrote it down myself,
okay,
Marnie.
Okay.
I gave you a fucking day off, and that's what I found out.
Right.
It's called Pregnant in Heels.
Yes, I have heard of it. Okay, by the way.
I've heard of this.
Have just recently heard of it. And
heard, just recently heard,
heard
of it.
Heard of it.
She heard of it. That's okay.
She's from Appalachia.
Yeah. And Aaron, if you're here, you've never heard of it. Please, we don't have to watch that.
I mean, it was.
She's watched Pregnant in 16 and this whole other.
I don't know
crazy
what.
Shit.
I don't know what show I was watching that they brought on like the consultant for Pregnant in Heels, but I'm hoping
wasn't that The View? Was it? Oh, they please. Had something on The View
please
about
don't
that.
Please don't tell me it was that. But anyways, I wrote it down, and I've seen it all week long. Yeah. I was like, oh, pregnant in heels.
I thought Whoopi had made it
turns,
fun of that.
Yeah, it turns out you and I watch The View a lot, so that's what I'm saying. But there is something called helping your... Oh, I remember now. It was something about...
He had an epiphany.
That's my new favorite thing. He's Vinnie Barbarino. Horseshack.
Horseshack.
May he rest
because
in peace.
Because it was... Oh, is he dead?
Yes, he just died recently.
No, Epstein died.
Epstein died.
Whichever.
One of the two.
Epstein Barr.
Anyway. Epstein Barr. It's a virus. Cher has it. Cher is pioneering these so many things.
Her and birthday is today, isn't
did
it?
You know Happy
that,
birthday.
Did you know that Casablanca wanted Bad Girls for Cher and Donna had to steal it back?
Cheers.
Even though she wrote it.
Cheers.
Oh. Let's drink to that.
Nicely done.
At 8:39.
And Dim All the Lights was written for Rod Stewart.
That we knew because we all heard the VH1 concert.
I knew before you did. So anyways,
he knew before it happened.
Because she fucking told me.
Sure she did.
No, because I saw the UNICEF concert where they were together, and I saw her eyeing him up like, do you want to sing a song?
Well, she was after white guys.
Yeah, she was after white guys. So it was about being horny in the third trimester, which I guess is very common in the third trimester to be particularly horny. And the man, and I love when men think that their penis is big enough to disturb the baby. And I love the analogy that, honey, your penis is going in the garage, and that baby's in the upstairs bedroom.
My favorite thing was just a look on Buddy and Clayton's face just then.
No.
Oh, my God.
It was a realization that I have been in my third trimester for 7.5 years now.
Yeah. I have the gestation period of the hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh, my God.
I sure do miss you, boys.
Ooh, I love the baby.
I'm just going to... Oh, I love the lovely baby. And remember, the 12-inch single that DJ's love was invented. Why? Because of
Donna
Summer.
I blended two topics. You were talking about penis being big enough, and then I heard 12-inch single. And I...
But a 12-inch penis is always welcome in my home. Please come over.
Yeah.
I'm so afraid.
We'll find...
Would you rather have that or a 12-inch Kirkland bottle? Come on.
Whew, doesn't matter. But the 12-inch single was invented for Donna Summer.
Eventually, they end up in the same place.
And this shit, the Oral FX microphone, was invented for Donna Summer because her voice was so big.
Okay.
Actually, all right, I got to take it back.
No, wait a minute.
I got to take it back. You know who it's really invented for?
I'm a little nervous.
And I'm going to, I got to call her a cunt, even though I love her. I love her. And I actually know one of her cousins.
Please.
Linda fucking Ronstadt with the trick pussy. Is she listening? This
what?
Is not...
What?
All right.
Did we play the disclaimer?
I hope we did.
Please don't sue me, Linda Ronstadt, or any members of your family, because you're God-given talented, but there's a limit to how much I can take out of the Linda Ronstadt camp. Okay. First off...
Where is this going?
I am afraid.
These things right here. You're, we are talking into filters that were made in the whole microphone.
Apparently you and I have Linda Ronstadt-like voices.
Yes.
Right.
Al and Clayton do not.
It's all about budgeting. Never mind. Go ahead. Tell your story, Alfred.
Linda Ronstadt, such a big voice that they had to invent a special microphone for her that Donna Summer made famous in her recordings because she has that same kind of like big voice because they recorded with bands that they were louder than.
Okay. Wow.
And it's some kind of... It's got called Oral
Exciter.
By the
way, I appreciate all that. What's this trick pussy thing about? Okay. What the fuck?
That's what we want to know.
Of course you focus on that.
No, but I'm just saying, that's the only thing that's weird about the story.
Somebody in the chat room just said, don't let Al ever take a day off again.
Who said that?
All right.
That's funny.
Sure, I'm taking 3 weeks off soon, so just think of how much...
Oh, no, but you're calling in.
Call in, bitch.
Okay. So, Jerry Brown, why did he not run for president? Because he was in love with Linda Ronstadt.
Right.
So, Jerry Brown, not the president. Desperado, the Eagles. Who's it written about? Linda Ronstadt.
I never knew that.
That Girl Could Sing by Jackson Brown. Who's it written about? Linda Ronstadt.
Things
the
I never knew for
$500,
Alex.
The whole goddamn
world
was in love with Linda Ronstadt. Microphones are invented for her. Song styles are written about her. This woman was like the biggest thing going, and everyone was in love with her.
I never knew any of that.
So now, movie lovers will know that the only truly independent movie ever made... Wait for it. This is
all
good.
Right. Hang on. Can I get something queued up here?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Hang on. Go.
The only truly independent movie ever made was George Lucas's Star Wars version 1 Phantom Menace. I think maybe I got that right.
Phantom Menace.
Are you talking about 77?
Right.
In
77?
No. That's the New Hope, because that's episode 4.
Yeah.
Because that really
one
is 4.
One would have been in the 90s.
One. So I think whatever
Phantom Menace.
The only truly independent movie ever made was George Lucas, because he didn't have to pay for distribution. He owned...
I see where you're going with that.
He owned Skywalker
Studios,
mm-hmm. Light and Industrial Light and Magic. All of that is George Lucas.
Okay.
George Lucas sound is what you watch in the theater. THX is George Lucas. Every single component is done by George Lucas. When they interviewed him about making the biggest independent movie ever made and the biggest amount of money ever spent where no one else had any insight, he got to do Jar Jar Binks because no one had any input. They asked him what his biggest regret was. You know what he said about the lady with the trick pussy? I wish I could have gotten Linda Ronstadt. I was in love with her my whole life. Are you fucking kidding me?
Nicely done.
Jesus Christ.
Nicely done.
That was the longest trip to get to that.
By the way, Jesus Christ. But the release that he had was fantastic. And that voice and that. Oh, my God. That was so cool.
I watched that 60-minute interview and I threw things at the TV.
Nicely done.
Because what does she have that the rest of us don't have? A tortilla? I don't know.
apparently a trick pussy.
I love her. But one of the greatest voices in pop music. Wonder, like, why is everyone in love with you? Like, what is your
not
secret?
Not because of her hair in the 80s, that's for sure.
Oh. But truly the great one of the greatest voices ever.
She's
ever.
A great voice.
Besides,
she's no good.
Anyway.
Yeah, but she works hard for the money.
Now I want you to know that you've made it all the way to 8:44 without a break in time. She works hard for the money. Yeah. That's my picture today on my Facebook page. Cheers.
I know. I just saw that. That's fantastic. By the
how
way,
many times last week did you guys say? Did you have dead silence?
We didn't
silence?
Even look at the fucking clock.
Not even once today. You're at 8:44.
I just want to throw out. When
please, Marnie, say
something.
Give him a breather.
So a friend of mine, Rhonda from high school.
Yes.
New listener.
Oh.
New listener.
Hi, Rhonda.
Up to
10. Hi, Rhonda.
It's really the Clayton and Marnie show.
No, it's... Sadly. Sadly, it's not. We're going to have another hour. That's
not
just
even a little
music,
bit.
Music trivia with Al.
Anyway.
Shit you never knew.
She has now downloaded all of the podcasts, so we should be well over
We almost are at 300 now.
I can't say the name Rhonda without thinking of Laverne and Shirley. Rhonda!
Help me, Rhonda.
Remember Rhonda?
Rhonda? Which one is Rhonda?
Rhonda, after they jumped the shark and moved to
LA. I really don't remember.
Rhonda was it Leslie Easterbrook?
Wait a minute.
Wasn't it the redhead?
Oh, no, it was the...
that was Leather.
When they brought on Ed Marinaro.
Yeah.
Was it Leslie Easterbrook? Was she Rhonda?
My favorite was Laya, Laya, Pants on Fire, Laverne. Like, all of a sudden, somebody was from Brooklyn.
Look at Clayton's face!
What in the hell are you two talking about?
Do we have a final question this week?
Is it's your turn.
We got time.
Hey, no, we don't, because we're doing it in 15 minutes now. So, like,
we didn't have enough time.
You know what was that song called? Something on the Pier with the saxophone? Hang on. Oh my God!
Can I just, while you're looking for that, let you know that Ray J was hospitalized for exhaustion and jet lag.
He is very fucking busy. He's gonna go coast to coast.
Well,
he's still.
The problem was that he got in a huge fight with the Whitney Houston family.
I'm gonna be
about
hospitalized.
Where he's gonna sit at the Billboard Music Awards.
I thought he was still tired from fucking Kim Kardashian.
I'm gonna be hospitalized from exhaustion of talking about Ray J.
I just had to throw it out. I mean, if we can bring Ray J back into it,
can I just tell you all the silver linings?
Is this gonna take long?
No. Everything takes long with me.
Oh, really?
But this, except
am I still waitressing? Am I getting tipped?
But the silver lining to this is I'm not crying through this whole thing because
that's a
you
good
were
point.
Close.
I know, but my actual worry was that I was a long way from joy this week.
I thought there would be another topic that would be brought up, a little bit heavy, quote unquote, but I'm just curious.
Well,
I'm just curious your thoughts on Joplin 1 year later.
Oh, that's not heavy.
It
ain't heavy, it's my hometown.
That's right.
Obama was there doing the commencement speech for graduation last night.
Yep.
And I had a family member post a picture of the airplane from the Joplin Regional Airport. They went and saw him land and take off, or something to that effect. unfortunately, I still haven't made it back home. I haven't gone back to Joplin, which I still want to do because I think
we had talked about that going
right.
Back.
We had talked about that.
I'll road trip with you.
I've seen some pictures.
Yeah, we had talked about. Going
I've
back
seen
and
some
helping.
Pictures where they show like an intersection that was blown away a year ago, and like then and like before, then and now.
Yeah,
and it's like Jesus, I still don't recognize it. It's crazy. So just to see that, I did find out though that the hospital that was destroyed, they actually are rebuilding it south of town in a different location, which is kind of odd because
out of Tornado Alley, we're hoping.
But
it's not Louisiana.
Out of
I mean, they're not. They can't move that far.
I know.
No.
I'm just bad joke.
still done. Too soon.
Too soon.
No. So they're resilient. They're rebuilding. They're redoing. I don't know. I really haven't heard an update otherwise from anybody else. In regards to that, but it's...
No, maybe we should take the show on the road.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I want to say that those usually... I know you think that's heavy, but I think those are almost always stories of...
Inspiration?
Inspiration, because there's a night of tragedy, but then it's almost always people... showing the best sides of themselves.
Right.
Well,
and there's no political divide. There's no colors.
The only reason I thought heavy was for him. I agree with you.
It was when it happened. But however, on 60 Minutes, I think it was week before last, they went back, and you all may have seen the footage. There was a guy who threw everybody in it's like a Circle K. He made them all get made them all get in the cooler because it was the only like shrouded area.
Yes.
And so they went back and interviewed that guy. They've rebuilt the store. So he walked through, and two people who actually were in the one of them oddly was a photographer for the graduation that was happening that same day that the tornado hit. She was there, and somebody else was there. I forget his name, but they kind of came back and walked back through all the steps of what they did and showed pictures of it from then and, you know, the day after the tornado, and showed where they were standing and how it was. So that was kind of interesting to realize. And as they were standing there, you could tell that they were all kind of shell-shocked to stand there. It's like, this is where I almost died. Is where everything... Right. And then when they walk out, they showed footage of them. They recorded in the cooler, but then when it was done, they, like, taped with somebody's phone or whatever, like... Well, that's where part of the store is, over there, a block away, and you know, here's this and here's that. So it was kind of interesting to see how that all came together. But sadly, it's not super emotional for me right now today.
No, but I think that's good. I think that's healing.
Don't all these things turn into like white people problems or first world problems, whatever the politically correct way to say it? Because when the
political correctness,
right? But so they used to be called white people problems, but now they call them first world problems.
I think call them that.
When the chips are now, I had a conversation at brunch yesterday on this topic of what to call
that. Stop making shit up, Al.
But when the chips are down and when you're fighting for your life, no one cares if you're if you're black, you're white, you're yellow, you're Chinese, gay, straight, what your religious affiliation is. Everyone just wants to help, and it happens during the crisis, and it happens in the cleanup of the crisis, that people start to focus on people.
Right.
Life is important.
And it turns into a first world problem, because when nothing's really wrong is when we gripe and piss and moan about all this shit. But when the chips are down, like in my waitress job, I don't care what religion you are or what, like, I have no desire.
I'm not going to wait on you.
Right. We're just going to get this done.
Yeah. Like, right. You're going to get your chicken fried steak and you're going to enjoy it. And if not, I'll make you another one.
And if you need something that I can provide, like, someone will do it, but when the chips are down, people revert to their best places, I think.
Now,
I would agree with that.
Though we are woefully off course, according to my pie charts and schedules for this show, we have reserved the final segment of this show
for thoughtful vulgarity.
That's what you call it. What do they call it? Aggressive.
You called it like the Inquisition.
I made up all kinds of different names for it. But, somehow, Al comes up with a insightful question all, in our emotional state of being inebriated and the final few minutes of the show, we all try to answer a little bit of a poignant question, if you will. So, Al, what do you think the question for this week will be?
Well, actually, it came from Marnie this week.
Shut up.
Weird.
Because they've been talking about graduations this week and cliched graduation speeches. So I'm going to throw it to you first, because I know you always have a problem when I do it, so I'm always going to do it.
Why do I say that?
The cliche thing that they say at graduations is to follow your bliss. So
and open another beer.
Now that we're this many years post graduation.
Marnie?
Yes. Have you followed your bliss, or do you know what your bliss is?
You've got 90 seconds, Marnie, go.
Oh, you have 2 minutes.
Thanks. First and foremost, I didn't graduate on time, but that's a whole other story.
Oddly, you were late to that, too.
Oh, I was.
She's always fucking late to everything.
God damn it, that's fantastic.
You are late to everything.
But thank you, because that just put it in perspective for me. Right. 24 years
later. Sell it to somebody else.
I will.
But the pressure is on for an 18-year-old to know what their bliss is. And who the fuck
have I found my bliss?
Right. Or are you following it? Either or. Because you may not know. Okay. What is your bliss?
working with people and helping people. I really think that, and that was something that I've done for years. Well, like pre-graduation, late, but all of that. And it's just been helping people and being able to touch people's lives in any way, shape, or form, making them laugh, helping to, whether it be fundraising, social work, making them laugh, whatever it is. But yes, I followed my bliss. I think that overall, I'm at a very, very happy place.
Okay, so I have to...
Am I answering that correctly?
Yes, you have a time for a follow-up question. At what time did you realize it was your bliss?
About 8:45 tonight.
I was going to say, damn near right when you asked me. Why are you going to be so specific, Al?
No, but, I mean, but was it when you were 18? Was
no,
it, when
it
you
would
were
have
in...
been actually before.
Okay,
then.
Well, that's even better. So you were one of those few people that could raise your hand and say, this
I
is my bliss.
I didn't know I was going to do social work. I didn't know what it was going to be called. I just knew that...
That somehow helping people?
Always, yeah.
Oh, she's going to... Okay, all right, buddy.
What were you... What? Damn it.
Well, I think I've followed my bliss many times over the years because the things that I love doing, you know, my whole life, performing, doing comedy, writing, I've followed my bliss in a number of ways, which now at 41, you know, has made me realize...
No real ages. He's 26.
Would you like to start doing comedy on this show? Because that would be helpful.
I realize...
You can't get a word in fucking Edgewood.
I can't.
Not
right.
when Donna Summer
not
dies.
This week. Sorry, this is my week.
Okay, and
cheers.
Donna.
I thought this last segment was supposed to be, like, serious.
All right, go ahead.
I'll turn the music up.
No,
turn
I mean...
Turn Al down.
The funny thing is, and this is funny in a number of ways, is, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately about how my adulthood has been one series of bad life choices after another, but I've had fun doing it.
Right.
I've been doing things I love. So I guess, yeah.
And that's... I think that's the greatest testament to what you're doing.
I agree.
That you've made it to middle age. I'm sorry to tell you that.
And you're still alive.
And you're still... But you're still enjoying yourself. Because there's some people mired in tragedy and... I know people that have everything in the world, right. And like they're like a fucking train wreck of sorrows.
True story.
And I know exactly who you're talking about.
Do you want me to name these people?
No.
No.
All right, then.
They'll all come out in the autobiography.
What about you, Clayton?
I think one of the things I still harbor, and you're not supposed to, I still harbor grudges against certain people in my world.
You got to let them go.
Not when they owe me $47,000. I don't. However, I think my joy is...
Bliss, not joy.
Literally standing in my workshop working on... I know you guys are completely lost on this, but like everybody that brings me a bike to fix, everybody that brings me a lawnmower to repair or a vacuum, which oddly last night somebody said, oh, by the way, I heard you fixed vacuums.
Like, and keep them.
But fixing and helping and making somebody's life easier for some reason has always been fun for me, or has always been enjoyable. When I can impact them, and oddly, and it's a small thing, I installed a timer on your porch light, Al, at your house. And to me, that's like, you don't have to come home to a dark porch ever again.
Right.
Because you just pull up and the light comes on.
But when you watch you do that, you know. Like, I have to say, like, sometimes I feel guilty when people are like, I want to fix this for you. I'm like, no, I want to pay somebody. Like, I don't want to be in your debt. But I watch you do stuff and you look so fucking happy. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's
right.
good.
Yeah, that's it. So I enjoy doing all that, you know, all those kind of things. As long as I can make something better, easier, if it's, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm just to get us through something, if I can make something work or make something happen, that is what I enjoy. I don't enjoy stupidity and trying to explain problems to people or, like, how to fix something if they're just like, I understand why, you know, or whatever. That's challenging. I don't appreciate
stupidity. But do you feel at this point in your life, at however old you might be, shut up, buddy.
Not as old as the oldest person in this room, but not as young as the youngest.
Right. But do you...
That's right.
Do you feel like you have...
Thanks.
Like, if you were looking back at graduation, if you were like a ghost at your graduation, like Donna Summer might be today, drink. That you followed your bliss, like you, or if you didn't follow it, you found your bliss. I guess that's how I should have phrased this. Did you find it?
Didn't follow it because of economic reasons, which I think a lot of people get wrapped up in. Because my entire passion was media, and I couldn't because literally, unless you're Dick Clark, still dead,
and you're still talking into a microphone right now. So
right,
that's,
but I had to forego this for the longest time because you couldn't make money on it. So what I did is I what's the word I want? Not subsidized it.
subsidized.
Thank you. That
keep by snapping because that was kind of
by working in bars and being able to talk in the mic and be funny and ad lib and do things in shows to fulfill the void.
Oh, you and Phaedra at Winks was.
Winks and Pookies.
And yeah. Pookies.
Right.
I was going
to
say.
Right. So, so I've got, again, coming fantastic. Into this is kind of, and me wanting to hone it and develop it to be what it is becoming is what I want to do. I want to create and build things that are fun, not only for me, but, I mean, literally having you guys all here is just fun. So that's why you guys can never take Tuesdays off again. Not only because you won't shut up for 2 hours, but just because I think we've honed in on something that it's just fun for me. I look so forward to Tuesdays.
And, to give a shout out to Doug Wilkie because he was really fantastic.
He was a trooper.
He's my Joy Behar. He's my Joy Behar.
He really is.
And Doug will be back with us. There's no doubt.
He is our group therapist.
Oh yeah.
And needs to learn to edit.
So we'll figure that out. The question is because I maybe phrased it wrong. So did you follow it or did you find it? I guess is the way to say it.
I'm going to say that I did both.
Right. Okay.
I'm continuing to follow it. I don't know if I've ever going to find it.
Right.
Well, you're not going to find it in this studio. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I kind of did because I became an Ed McManus kind of thing that I always wanted to do. So it's fantastic. I mean, as far as a different.
Right.
Rather than just helping people and making them laugh.
Because prior to coming into the studio, you had never actually talked on a mic or done any of this.
Well, I mean.
Buddy had, and right. Al's taken
not
over.
Not in this capacity.
People keep microphones away from me.
Weird.
So now, in our final couple of moments, let's turn that question back to you. What about your bliss, Al?
This is a big part of my bliss because I'm sure anyone who's read Facebook knows that my lifelong dream was to be on the mic, was to have a Mike Douglas show.
How did I miss that?
That's the whole Johnny Carson thing ending was because I love the Johnny Carson show and that just chatting about it. But my lifelong dream from 5 or 6 years old or whenever Band of Gold came out, which I think I was 5 in 1972, do the math, you'll figure out my real fucking age. Was I wanted to do the Mike Douglas show because people just stopped by and they had conversations and it was. It could be sometimes political, it could be sometimes off color, but it was always, and he got to sing a song at the beginning, which I'm sure we'll add into the show eventually. But
I never thought about starting a show with a song.
As long as you write it.
And sing it. You're right, exactly.
Yeah. Sing it, yeah.
Because from last week, we owe Leo Sayer $3.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you realized that.
Yeah. I'm still not dead, because that really did sound like a tribute to Al Perkins.
It really did. Well, we needed
but
to.
But honestly, it's just the culmination of meeting people and finding things, and it led to this place. And you have to go through so many different things that maybe aren't following your bliss, but you don't know that as long as you stay true to yourself, you'll end up somewhere there you want to be. And
exactly.
One of the things that I noticed and I take from this, and again, I totally am thrilled that you all three are here with me, and the fact that we don't get paid for this, and I know that that's a point of contention, but the point is...
Oh, for who?
I thought
that's the only thing I've ever really done for free.
I thought that was direct deposit.
Well, yes, it is, and we're having a trouble with your account.
Oh, right, good. Oh, thanks.
But no, the fact of the matter is that I just look so forward to coming and just... It's just chat, and it's fun, and the part of the bliss is... It's not about the money. It's just about the fun. It's about the bond and the fun with people.
In case we ever get paid for this, I want my lawyer to know that I didn't say that. But at 9:01, I want to say that Doug Wilkie and I do sound like alike.
Not a lot.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Similar. Similar but different.
Coyotes are heading into overtime,
by the way. OT! Arizona loves OT.
Oh, my God. We're probably going to have to make this a 3-hour show because it's already after time and it's all good. Anyhow, it's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Thank you very much. It's Buddy Early, Marnie Reiner, Al Perkins with me each and every Tuesday night. We're going to probably extend the show just because, well, we can.
Won't die again.
I know. She won't die again. We'll be talking to you next Tuesday right here on Q Talk Arizona. Please shop locally, support our sponsors, and also we're rebroadcast every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6 right here on Q Talk.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.